you freak bitches, we're back at it again. Thank the baby Jesus. Thank the baby Jesus. Oh, look, my fucking volume's on.
Of course.
We've only been doing this for 3 years. Through a laptop, some low-tech shit. It's not like I'm looking at a circuit board that I don't understand. It's a simple, stupid fucking mute button, and I never push it. This episode of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast is that's a professional me. That's like as professional as I get. It's sort of kind of like the fake professional voice, but not really. We're brought to you by Ting. I had a dude on my message board or he was on the Mixed Martial Arts message board that said that he went from a 90-something dollar Verizon bill to an $18 Ting bill with the same use. If that's true, if that guy's true, and I'm paraphrasing the numbers, I don't remember the exact numbers, I should probably look it up.
I would say that he barely uses his phone if that's true.
Well, I don't know, man. You know, he said was the same use. I don't know. I don't know how much you would save, but I know that I've gotten so much positive feedback about Ting. And Joey's been a loyal Sprint customer forever. Ting uses the Sprint backbone. What Ting is it's a cell phone company. What they do is essentially they buy cell phone time at Sprint, and they sell it to you. They sell it back to you, but they do it with no contracts. And they sell like the coolest Android phones that they have. Which, by the way, did you just see this new fucking thing that they're going to release?
The Facebook phone?
No, the Samsung's going to release something called the Galaxy Mega.
No.
Holy shit, dude! It's 6 inches. It's like there's two versions of it. There's a 5.8 inch and a 6.3 inch. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's not a phone. What am I gonna do? That's a half of Joey Diaz's dick.
That won't even fit in your pocket, will it? I can't.
I don't know. It's nonsense. That's a crazy thing. I don't know what that is. That's some crossover world thing. That you have to have a man purse to carry that around. Or a woman. A woman would be excellent. If I was a girl and I had a bag, you know, girls are allowed to carry purses, which is so awesome. You know, that is one thing they have got us whipped with. This society, not women, but society's got us whipped with this stupid idea that somehow or another a man's not allowed to carry a purse. You know, back in the Robin Hood days, those motherfuckers had shoulder bags, okay? You're allowed to wear a backpack. I wear a backpack like I'm a fucking school kid. Like, do-do-do-do-do. Nobody gives me a hard time with it, but if I wear a fanny pack, they would look at me like some goddamn freaking nature. I'll tell you, folks, we got to take back the fanny pack. We got to take back the fanny pack and maybe even introduce a fucking purse, huh? How about them apples?
I like my purse.
Get yourself a purse, boys. Fuck it. Yeah, you got a little man purse.
I like it.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. The idea that there's something somehow or another feminine or weak about carrying around a bag is a perplexing aspect of this society, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't make any sense. We are allowed to carry certain bags. If you're carrying like a military-style duffel bag, that's fine. But you're not allowed to have a purse. You can't go through the airport with a purse. Dudes will laugh at you. Dudes with backpacks carrying duffel bags will laugh at you if you've got a purse. Look at this guy with his fucking purse. What is that, a purse, bro? You got a fucking purse. What is the difference between a fucking purse and a backpack? What's going on here? Come on, man. A duffel bag's okay and I can't have a fucking purse? This is nonsense. We have subjected ourselves to some nonsense that we just have accepted over the years. And now it's become culture. And Brian Redband, God bless you for breaking the mold, young man. God
That's
bless you.
That's where I keep my Xantax.
Keep your Xantax. What is Xantax? What is that?
From drinking too much heartburn medicine.
You take heartburn medicine?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. You silly bitch. Anyway, Ting, what Ting does is it allows you to, first of all, if you go to rogan.ting.com, you can save some money, save $25 off their service. But what they allow you to do is, buy phones, the highest end Android phones, and put it on a network, the Sprint network, but cancel whatever the fuck you want. It's yours. It's your phone too. You know, there's a lot of stupid shit that goes along with cell phone contracts. And, one big one is the fact that if most people don't realize what kind of deal they're making when they make it, but when you cancel, if you cancel, you gotta pay them. You can't just quit. You owe them like hundreds of dollars. It gets fucking stupid. And if someone is in a position where $300 is like a make or break for the month for them, and you really want to get out of your, you know, X cell phone, you know, AT&T, whether it's Verizon, whatever it is, you gotta fucking pay them. You didn't really get the deal that you got is you're paying off that phone over a several year period. or, you know, over a certain amount of time period, and they sort of add that to your bill. So if you just decide to leave, you didn't really get that phone for $299. You got a $700 phone for $299 because they worked it into your deal that you pay the rest of it over time. So that's what's going on. That's why you can't just cancel. And Ting's like, what kind of stupid shit is that? Let's just cut that out of the equation. That's nonsense. That complicates things. Let's also have it so people can share time. And then Sprint, one of the coolest things about using the Sprint network is it's not like Ting has its own little funky network that only works in like weird spots. It's a huge network that works everywhere. And the way Ting has it set up, if you don't use all of their bandwidth, if you don't use all of their, you know, all of the time rather, they'll give you a credit on your unused service. So if you use less than you thought you would, Ting drops you down and credit you the difference on your next bill. It's beautiful. I love it. It's just a cool company. I love the idea behind it. You know, it would suck if it turned out that they were actually evil and that they were like the most evil company ever. They were just doing it really ethically.
They hate puppies or something.
Yeah, they're all fucking devil worshippers or some shit.
Oh, you're a devil worshipper. I've seen the pictures. You and your 666 and your tattoos.
Yeah, we got to talk about that picture, huh? People think I'm a real devil worshipper, these silly fucks. I was at the goddamn, some Anton LaVey's thing. We'll talk about it on the podcast. Yeah. We'll talk about it. Pull the picture up. We'll talk about it because it's right. So ridiculous. Anyway, rogan.ting.com. Save yourself some money on a cool company. And I don't think there's any reason to have contracts anymore, folks. Go there. Get your shit on. Get your freak on. Or whatever. We're also brought to you by Stamps.com. Stamps.com is one of our newest sponsors. And if you buy any of Brian's DeathSquad.tv kitty cats, that is exactly how they're getting to you. They're getting to you through Stamps.com. So you know that Brian uses it. It's an easy way to, if you have a small business and taking your stuff, whatever you're selling, and bringing it to some post office where you got to wait in line. Someone's gonna weigh your shit and box everything out. It's a pain in the dick. Ugh, and it's not necessary. And Stamps.com, you do it all. They give you a scale. They set you up. You print out the postage on your computer. I mean, it's a beautiful, seamless experience. And Brian, you enjoy it, right?
Yeah, it's super easy. And it's just not going to the post office is the biggest thing, because going to the post office, I don't know how it is where you guys live, but in Burbank, it's like an hour just to get to the cashier.
Yeah.
So you can give them your box of tons of stuff to send. And it's a pain in the ass. Here, you just print it out. And they have, like, you know, different ways to print it out. They have, like, the sticker kind where you can print it on these stickers. And the printout's just like it's a regular stamp. Or you can just put your envelope in there and print it right on the envelope.
But I mean, use this for UPS, too.
Yeah. Not UPS.
No, it's just for post office.
Fuck no, you can send weed through UPS by the house. You imagine that shit? That's it. You have to take it to the box.
Do you remember?
They came out. Everybody knows that they're the biggest drug dealers.
That's Mitch Hedberg's joke.
Remember? No, but that's a true story. Yeah. That's how fucking insightful he was. That's the truth. How do you think they're getting all this weed? Anywhere you go now, they got Cali weed. It's not really Cali weed. People that buy it, they got a good salesman.
I wonder if it's the same chance you're taking that you're taking with the post office. Because the post office, if you're like a drug dealer and you send drugs through the mail,
you're done.
I think it's like a federal.
Oh, yeah, it's a federal crime. Massive. Yeah. But, it's like the bong with Tommy Chung.
But is it the same? Yeah, but is it the same with UPS?
No, I don't think that. I think UPS is a private company.
Yeah.
You're still doing something over state lines.
So you're still transporting.
Yeah, you're still going to jail.
Yeah. See, transporting across state lines is one issue, but then there's another issue I think is like sending stuff through the post office. Yeah. It's like, they're like, listen, bitch, you fuck with us, will you make us a part of your deal of bringing illegal shit places, and we're the government? You bold motherfucker. No. So they went after those people.
Here's the thing in California, I know for a fact. If, let's say, you have a friend that calls you and says, hey, man, you know, we grew up together and everybody's out there in Cali whoop-wooing and listening to Rihanna. Send me a bag of weed and a cookie. And you do somebody a favor and get like a VHS box, put weed in there and send it to them. It'll never get there. Those mailmen, I've had friends that sent them. The box has gotten there, ripped open like a dog ate it. Like, let's say... Like, it's gotten there with the address on the bottom. I swear to God. And they've taken the weed right out of there. They're savages.
And
they just
send it. Like, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, that Hollywood post office on Wilcox, don't send nothing out of there. You go in there, every Filipino's high as fuck in that place. Everybody. Everybody's fucked up. The trucks are crooked. Shook. Because they eat my fucking edibles when I send them, those cocksuckers.
Do they eat them?
They steal them all. This is no story. This is no lie. We'll call the guy.
Allegedly.
I sent him a little bit of reefer and Eddie's book, and he said the fucking thing got there a month later. I bought like the 3-day delivery. A month later, ripped open with Eddie's book in it, and they took the weed.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, Eddie's book got there, but they took the
You can't leave anything to government agencies, man.
Nothing.
I was at the TSA. Look, I never complained about the TSA. The bitch at the TSA in New York was the rudest person. Like, the way she was communicating with people, I ain't going to do all that. You gotta give that to this. You got to move that over there. I'm using two lines here. I'm doing two lines here. JFK, yeah.
The word.
And I was like, this is incredible. I was like, I go, you're being very hostile. She goes, no, I'm not, but I could get hostile. And I was like, wow. I'm like, people really communicate like that, just flippantly with people in public that are in positions like the TSA. Like, the way she was communicating with people was just, like, so short and so curt with people and so shitty, just right off the bat, as if someone was doing something to her by having her do her job. That's some offensive shit, man. When people get cunty with you just because their job sucks, like, I get your job sucks, but I'm friendly. I'll be nice. We could have a nice little smile at each other and walk about, you know, go through our time together. It's not going to take any extra time. Okay. Yeah. She just got cunty just right away. And there's a thing, man. There's a thing with people in New York that I noticed this weekend that I forgot about. But there's that cuntiness, that curtness that people have sometimes. So they're real short with folks, you know, and folks are short with each other. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. Because you know when that went away? That went away after 9/11. I remember always thinking that New York was like, there was like a certain hostility to New York that I didn't appreciate. I thought it was an amazing, amazing, amazing city. It's so fucking crazy. It's beautiful, monolithic. I mean, it's like more beautiful than the mountains, really. It's created by man. When that motherfucker's lit up at night, it's more beautiful than even the mountains themselves. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is like really like one of the perfect creations by man, as far as like one of the most amazing things that anyone's ever created and put on this earth. New York City is one of them. But you can't have that many people together. They just get tired of each other. They get shitty with each other.
USPS needs a warrant to open their mail, but UPS can just open whatever the fuck they want.
Boom, son! Supersede the government. We're contractors.
And the L.A. Post Office, those motherfuckers don't need nothing. They just need to whiff it.
They just need
to see you at the window, and it moves the speed of light. I guarantee there's somebody at the glass going, check that package. Oh, here we go. Look at this fat.
Anyway, avoid all this bullshit by using stamps.com.
And get a free scale.
Get a free scale.
There's a microphone in the upper right-hand corner. If you click on that microphone, you enter in the code JRE, and that code will take you to the stamps.com website where you get a $110 offer and a free digital scale. It's a very cool service. And again, like I said, if you order one of those Death Squad t-shirts, that's how they're coming to you, bitch. It's new shit.
New shit.
Taking it to the next level. Printing your shit at home.
Another interesting thing that the only people who do it are in Kennedy Airport, and I'm not angry. I'm not saying this is bad.
It's too many people.
Don't let you, like, let's say me and Joe fly out. For years, we flew out. We made it 15 minutes before the flight. That shit don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Don't work no more. So you and I have said, fuck it. We got to be there at 11. We'll be there at 10.
Yeah.
We'll sit. We'll open up a computer.
Yeah.
We'll eat. You know. Yeah. I went there and did that at Kennedy one day, and they're like, you can't go through security. And I'm like, you can't be serious. Like, no, you can't go till we tell you. So they made me and Ari wait. They made me and Ari wait there. And finally, I had the sleep apnea machine. And I was fucking hungry. And if I get up at 4 and it's 6 and I haven't eaten, my blood sugar goes fucking up and I get dizzy. I get that thing that Dana was complaining about with his ear.
Meniere's disease,
I get this feeling like I got to puke. And I went up to the lady and I go, listen, dog, I got to go. I got to sleep. That's the only reason they let me through. Because I had the machine. They would have held me there. And Ari was like, that's amazing. I go, dog, because they know. You know, I didn't eat. Right. I can't eat as soon as you fucking get up. You got to drink some water and move around.
So what, were they just hostile? Is that what you said?
Very, very. That's why as soon as you said that, I said Kennedy. Yeah, I said Kennedy. I didn't even need to fucking know. Newark's not like that. And LaGuardia, I have never had a problem in Newark. LaGuardia, Newark, I had the problem the one time when I took the phone out. Remember when we were landing and the German guy said to shut the phone off and he started yelling on the plane?
Yeah.
And then I went outside and the cop goes, I don't know, you know, you're on the away fucking team here. This is the home team.
Right.
How dare you tell him to turn the phone off? That Newark, no, I never had a problem in Newark. It was Kennedy. And now you had it and I've had it twice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty nice, man. I try to be as nice as I can to people when I run into them. You know, if I'm talking face-to-face with someone, I'm going to try to be as nice as I can. But there's certain times where you get confronted with cuntiness, with shittiness that people have, and you're just like, whoa, dude, you know, fucking relax. I'm especially saying hello.
Morning. Especially in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't like that shit in the morning. I tolerate it in the afternoon. In the morning, I can't.
I'm like, we could do this with a couple sirs, and how you doing, brother, and everything would be fine, and we'll have a nice little conversation here, but you're just doing your job, and I'm just talking, and we're just, you know, we're just two people running into each other. This is not a conflict, you know? And, like, there's people there that have this hostile attitude that are, like, making it a conflict. Like, I'm not here for a conflict. I'm here to say hello to people. Look at my bag. There's nothing in it. You know, I'm just going to go to my destination. Take care. Nice meeting you. Good seeing you. And most of the time, that's what I get, especially with the X-ray people. X-ray people are some of the coolest motherfuckers.
Coolest shit.
I run into those people, like, the dudes that are working in the security in those areas. They're always asking me UFC questions and always being friendly. I don't see them being shitty with people. I see a lot of them actually going out their way to be nice to people. So when I'm confronted with someone just being shitty right off the bat, I'm like, wow. Like, that wasn't necessary. That was totally unnecessary.
And I gotta be honest with you. You and I and Red Band and this young man, we're blessed with the, well, whatever you want to call it, that we fly a lot.
Yeah.
But I know that the recent conditions after 9/11 have stopped a lot of regular people. They don't like it no more.
Yeah,
I got to be honest with you. A couple of weeks ago, you had people on here, and I know you were TSA. I have no problem with them. I've had a problem with them at all.
It's not a matter.
I fucking is easy. Either you go through them or your plane's going to fucking blow up.
Yeah.
It's that fucking simple. Okay? And you know that we've met people that situations have happened. They've gotten through the line and realized they had a fucking bazooka on their luggage. You know, that always scares the shit out of me. Bullets.
Yeah.
A friend of ours with the bullet, you know, that happens. But I have never had a confrontation with them.
No.
I've had confrontation. You know, people on the line sometimes are the worst people.
Yeah.
They're real slow, and you go, excuse me. Like, that's my case. Like, I had a problem in fucking somewhere in Vegas flying out one morning with some fucking guy that was 80. Like, fuck you. Are you fucking serious? God. But no. I've never had a problem with those tears at all. It's so weird. And I do everything as they tell me. The belt comes off, sleep apnea machine.
You're a sweetheart.
I take it out of the fucking case. I take the tube. I leave my vapor pen in. I confuse them with that. They don't know what the fuck that is.
That's a laser beam.
Yeah, it's a laser beam. I've never had a problem with that. But that particular, you know, you got to go through
at JFK, you did.
You gotta face it.
So. That sucks. It's unfortunate. I mean, it was only a couple of people, but it was just like, it was more than one. I was like, wow, this is nuts. I'm just trying to be nice, you know?
Would you ever move to New York?
I thought about it. I would think about it, yeah. It's kind of an interesting situation. We'll talk about it after we get done with, fuck all the commercials, man. I don't want to do any more commercials. Onnit.com is the last one. Onnit. If you don't know what it is, go fuck yourself at this point, seriously. Best commercial ever. What it is, shit that's good for your brain and odd weightlifting equipment. One of the coolest things that we have now is the Chimp with the Chimp kettlebell that has the expression that I like to describe the biting your dick off face. So if you see that Chimp kettlebell, that is the look that a Chimp would have right as it's biting your dick off. And think about that while you work out with it, and it will give you some extra motivation and some extra strength.
Ed Asner after a horrible car fire.
Oh, dude, that's so rude. That's a Chimp, son. The scariest fucking primate on the planet. We're just lucky they haven't figured out how to use guns yet. These crazy fucks trying to keep these things alive. Look at that mean-looking asshole. Crazy smart asshole that can kill you with its hands. Yeah, why don't we have more of those? They should be just running through the streets. Oh, my God, what would we do without them? What would we do without them? We'd eat the bananas. That's what the fuck we do. What's wrong with you?
You see that chimps tiger everywhere? Up here yesterday?
What's that?
You see that tiger up here yesterday? What was?
Oh, the mountain lion. Yeah, in Glendale. They fucking
what?
Dude, there's a lot of mountain lions lately.
Oh shit! Oh, there's a lot of mountain lions. This motherfucker was big.
Where was in Glendale?
Right by New York Park, what do they call it? Manhattan Park.
I don't know what part of Glendale it was, but that's like...
Not an Armenian to be seen, that fucker. That's the only way you get rid of a fucking Armenian. Let loose one of those fucking leopards.
Was this mountain lion in the back of a white car driving down the street?
No, and some you see him.
No, it was, they shot it on a porch. Oh, my God. Looks like they shot it on someone's porch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's what we need, a mountain lion kettlebell, just to give you, just so you're fucking working out like that thing's going after you.
Now, how hard is it to domesticate a
mountain lion? Oh, it's impossible.
Even if you get them as a kitten?
Yeah, you never can really domesticate them. They never really domesticate wild animals. You train them, and there's a big difference. It's like the dogs are dogs, man. They've been dogs for so long, like, you know, like my dogs. They're super friendly dogs, man. I never worry about them being mean to me. I don't worry about weirdness. I don't worry about them just flipping one day and ripping my throat out. But with a lion or something like that, that can happen. Mountain lions you don't own them, bitch. That is straight DNA killing. Straight killing
now, when I'm watching
for
dinosaur,
millions and millions and millions of years. Nothing but killing. Now, that's watching, all it knows.
When I'm watching Dinosaur and I see a bear wrestling with a lion, is that real?
He could be. Yeah, I mean, people have done shit like that.
And like a monkey choking the bear, like hitting him in the face with left jabs. How does that fucking happen?
They can do that.
How come I can't?
People train. They train them. They
you didn't see that one this week? Or 60 no. Yeah. Somebody had that.
Yeah.
It was a mountain fucking bear, big, they say.
A mountain
Texas,
bear.
Texas, something. It was a leopard. A fucking bear, and then like a third wild, like something that was so obscure, like a beaver, like
and
a
they're
fucking
all fighting
possum.
To the death.
Like they're all playing and chasing a ball together. You're like, what the fuck is this shit? What the fuck?
We definitely need a mountain lion kettlebell. That's for California.
We need a mountain
only.
Lion.
They have mountain lion problems in California. I told you I saw one in Santa Barbara last week.
How big?
It was big. I mean, big enough to kill you, for sure. It was like coyote sized.
Shit my fucking pants.
It wasn't as big as, you know, like the big ones. You know, they get up to like 200 pounds, I guess. But it was probably like 70 or 80 pounds. It looked like a coyote. It was moving across the road. And you know how coyotes are all like stiff? They're like, but mountain lions are like bouncy. They have like a bounce to them. And I just assumed it was a coyote because I see this wild animal running across the road. But then I see its tail. And then I like put it together because you're looking at it. You know, it's just a flash glimpse as it runs across your headlights, but it was probably about 70 pounds. That'll kill you. That'll fucking kill the shit out of you.
I'm gonna
man.
Tell you what's killing motherfuckers, that snow in Colorado.
Oh yeah, isn't that crazy?
Again, what I tell you, dog, they take you into deep April sometimes, yeah. And you're like, oh, that's why Jack Nicholson snapped. That's why in that movie, that see, you could tolerate November and December. That's all, January,
hits.
Yeah.
Jesus
And then
Christ.
February's cool, too, but now you're out of the weeds. You know, St. Patty's Day, you're like, fucking put away the boots.
March.
And they dumped. Well, how many inches have they gotten dumped?
I don't know. It was a big blizzard, though.
40 inches so far for the month. For the month in total, I'm talking about.
Fuck.
They just locked the airport Wednesday, didn't they?
Yeah, they didn't.
Come
Pat,
on.
Pat
now.
Miletich was tweeting about getting stuck there.
Come
recently.
On now. They don't. That's why you can't. That's a great place to live,
but
bro.
Damn, if you got to fly
damn,
out.
Damn, and damn my April. Fucking April. You got the pool going.
Yeah.
The guy's over putting chlorine in. And all of a sudden, I seen people with Facebooking pictures of like lights. With 6 or 7 inches of snow on top of it. The whole town white. It's fucking April.
It's a different kind of living.
Oh.
It's a different kind of living. You're dealing with nature on a completely different level than we're just so pussified here in California. But we got mountain lions, bitch. We got mountain lions, and they're moving in. There's been more of them. I mean, come on. This is not a one-time situation. They shot one in Santa Monica last year, and then you got this one in Glendale. They're moving into urban neighborhoods. They found
the one
in
Santa Monica? Last summer we had a podcast, we discussed it.
They found one in Agora recently, out near Agora. They have, they're seeing them all over the place.
Now, what is the reason why they're coming down into the cities?
Well, there's two things that's going on. I mean, I don't want to be ignorant about this. Steve Rinell will be on the podcast on Monday, the hunter from that Meat Eater show, and he'll be able to explain to us a little bit better. But I think there's been... Play the music, man. Let's do this actual podcast. This is ridiculous. Onnit.com. O-N-N-I-T.
What
use a code
fuck?
Name
we
Rogan.
We haven't been doing a podcast?
No, we are, but we're not. It's crazy. On the audio,
right,
the audio version,
so
it's always the podcast.
Right, it's amazing.
Joe Rogan Podcast. Check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night. All day.
I just realized that I'm a slave to doing the podcast with that stupid song. What the fucking difference does it make? What I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you we're like, and it. Now it's the podcast. What am I doing? What am I, crazy? But the podcast just began a fucking half an hour ago. We don't need to play that goddamn song.
Yeah.
The thing about Mountain Lions, Joey.
Joey Diaz here.
Joey Diaz is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. What's for the people. Baby? We need to stop editing this thing, too. Just fucking accept it. Sirius can edit it. Everybody else can go fuck themselves. And that's really all that's happening, right? It's just the Sirius that's editing the first part of the commercials out. But during the commercials, sometimes the best shit we say. Sorry. So if you listen to this on Sirius, you got to go to iTunes.
Maybe
get
we
it.
Should just mix the commercials in. Like in an hour, we'll just pull out like a cell phone. Like, damn, look at this.
To mix it in like fake?
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, what is that cell phone you have in your hands? And what? Tell me about Ting.
We should just do it once for fun. One episode.
But the issue with the Mountain Lions, where they're seeing more of them, there's one of them that got tranquilized yesterday in Glendale. We're talking about this. I saw one last week in Santa Barbara, and of course there was the big one in Santa Monica that they killed, which I think was about a year ago. But they're not using dogs to hunt them anymore in California. They changed the regulations. And when you change the regulations, you're going to have more mountain lions. Like it's still legal to hunt mountain lions because they're trying to keep the population under control. But by not allowing hunters to use dogs, hunters say that's the most effective way to kill mountain lions, and still incredibly difficult.
What kind of dogs?
They use hounds. They use, you know, hunting dogs. And these specially trained dogs are designed to go find mountain lions. They find mountain lions and they tree them, and then the hunter shoots them. And that's almost the only way to catch these fucking things, okay? Because they're in the woods, okay? When you're talking about in intelligence, like nature intelligence, they're way fucking smarter than you. They know what, they're not going to get below you. They're going to stay above you. They know that it's harder to run uphill than it is downhill. They have instinctual things that you as a city person that's wandering through the woods, you don't know what the fuck is going on. You literally need dogs to find them because they're too fast. They're gonna hear you walking and they're gonna be like, bitch, get the fuck out of here. They're cats. They're big giant cats that are living in the woods. And we have this weird attachment, you know, to like certain aspects of what should and shouldn't be legal when it comes to managing the wildlife around us. But you got to be really fucking careful about allowing predators to take hold. I mean, you got to be really careful because right now we're fine, but the balance can shift and you start getting to an Australia crocodile situation where this place is in Australia, you can't fucking go because if you go, you will get eaten by crocodiles. Like they will come and they will fucking get you. And there's too many of them. And you just areas of the water. You can't go there. If you go there, you're going to get got. It's just going to happen. I don't find that acceptable. I just don't find that acceptable. I think the idea behind it is ridiculous. 90% of everything that's ever existed is extinct. 90%. I don't think there'd be any problem with getting rid of crocodiles. I mean, it would be kind of cool to keep them around and look at, but if it had to do with like crocodiles overpopulating and starting to fucking kill people, you can't think about them as being like one of us. You can't think about them as being like, they're a part of nature. No, that's a monster. That's Godzilla. Mountain lions, that's the wolfman. You might as well get, I mean, if a mountain lion gets you or the wolfman gets you, it's the same shit. You just got.
Night, night.
Night, night, bitch.
Night, night.
One of those big cats gets you? Dude, shit, fuck. Wow! Jesus! That's a monster. That's a goddamn monster. No, it's a mountain lion, and we are working so hard to conserve and protect these killers, these things that need to kill every day, these monsters that run faster than us, jump higher than us, and only kill things with their face. That's all they do. And they can kill you. And even if you have a knife, they could still probably kill you. Even if you have two knives, they'd probably kill you.
Even if you're trained. They don't give a fuck.
They kill you.
That first lunge that they go at you, you're done. Yeah, that rips you. That rips a limb. That'll you fucking what do you call that vein that starts bleeding?
The carotid artery.
And they hit it from every angle.
You the jugular vein.
They'll hit it from every angle. The way they swat at you, they'll get something. You're done. You're done. And I'll tell you what. Listen, man. You know what the biggest animal I ever saw in Boulder was?
What?
A snake.
Really?
Right off Lee Hill Road. I never seen nothing like that. One of those yellow motherfuckers coiled like this thick.
What kind of snake was it?
I stopped and asked him. I asked him where he was from, how long you've been in this country.
Did you think it was like a python or something?
I almost fucking died.
Like, someone's like pet that they let out?
I don't know.
And most likely,
it was on
right?
my father-in-law's property. And I was like, what the fuck? We had to pull over and...
apparently that's a thing they have a real issue with in Florida. People just take pythons and they're like, this thing's too big. Fuck this. They just throw it out the door.
That's it.
Fucking, and you know it's white people, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, no, no, no. That's
crazy white people in Florida. Man, I got me a python. You want to see it eat a rabbit? Come on, feed my snake a rabbit. And then all of a sudden you realize, well, you got a rabbit-eating monster living in your house. And then one day it wraps around your arm and won't let go. And you're like, all right, I got to get rid of this thing. It's 18 feet long. So you take it out to the fucking swamp and just go, be free, my friend. I didn't want to take it and kill it. I mean, I knew it was thinking about killing me, but it's my pet. I had a connection to it. So I just let it loose in the swamp.
I saw a homeless person walking down the street with a snake around his neck, like a big one, too. And it's like, God. That was his pet. A homeless guy with a snake, scariest thing ever.
Yeah, reptiles are weird, man. There's a weird thing with reptiles, because they don't give a fuck about you. They never give a fuck about you. They're just conditioned to maybe do or not bite you. To bite you or not bite you. What should I do? They have to think about it. But they might just decide to fucking bite you. But if you feed them, and if you keep feeding them, you stay with them, and you become this connection to food for them, they'll accept you. But if you die, they're not going to cry. They don't give a flying fuck about you. And if they were hungry, and they thought they could eat you, of course they would eat you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long you've been feeding them. You got a 20-foot-long python in your house, bitch. You're living in his house, okay? Well, you are his little slave. And you are bringing him offerings. That's King Kong. That thing is tied to a fucking pole. That's a monster. And as long as you keep feeding it, maybe it'll let you come close. I mean, maybe. Where you got it? In your backyard? What are you doing there? You got a little cage back there, you crazy fuck?
I can't deal with that
shit. So they can't even kill him, man.
I can't go to somebody's house and see him give like a white fucking mouse to... Yeah. This thing, especially when I'm high, my fucking...
Oh, yeah, it's weird.
I've seen it. I've seen people say, come over and let me show you.
I've seen
it.
And
I had a friend, that's why I don't like it. But man, that's fucking creeped out for me. I don't know.
It's completely creeped out.
I don't know.
They're terrifying animals.
And those motherfuckers lizards? Who wear the snakes, walk outside with the snakes around their head, it's those motherfuckers and people with the bird on their shoulder, which makes me want to snap. You understand me? Like, especially like a parakeet or something on your shoulder. Because I sit there and I get so high sometimes, I can see a fucking eagle just dip. Like, you never see that. I would love to see something like that. Like some jerk off doing magic tricks with a fucking parakeet on his shoulder. And all of a sudden, one of those fucking birds that just comes swooping on you, just takes your fucking bird and the fucking ear off.
There's a great video of a hawk that comes into an eagle's nest to try to get the eagle's babies, and the eagle just goes, bitch, wham, grabs it and eats it in front and starts feeding it to the babies. Wow. It's fucking crazy. An eagle just flies into this hawk's, or a hawk rather, just flies into this eagle's nest.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I know that there was a guy on
here it goes. Look at this. Watch this. This eagle's just chilling, covering its babies, and this hawk is like, come here, give me your babies. And the eagle just like, bitch!
Don't you know this is America?
Kills it on top of his babies. Look at this.
Wow.
Or her babies, rather. I'm sure that's a mama, right? Only the mamas are the ones who guard the nest, I believe. I don't know, though. But look, he fucks up that hawk and eats it.
That's great.
Yeah, they caught that on an eagle camera because they have a nest camera to monitor these birds. But what a creepy world.
So the eagle is the meanest one.
Oh, they're the baddest motherfuckers.
Okay, so do they have those in Hollywood?
Did you ever see? No.
So what's in Hollywood, my friend?
Hawks.
Okay, the hawk. Yeah. He has on Vista, right next to all those streets where we used to hang Curson and all that. El Compadre. Him and his wife put cameras. Because they would wake up in the morning and see dead pigeons or something.
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure out what it was. And one day they got a Keith.
Okay.
The guy who could, got a picture of a fucking pigeon landing. And then this thing coming behind it, grabbing it, and ripping its fucking head off. Like a monster. Just ripped his head off and started eating it without the fucking head. Right there on Vista on Sunset.
I went to the Museum of Natural History.
Tremendous.
And that's where you get to see. It's amazing, amazing.
That one piece with the thing hanging, the whale on top.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's still there.
The dinosaurs alone. The gigantic skeletons they have. It's an incredible place.
Incredible. Fucking.
But they showed the transition between a dinosaur and bird. And, you know, that's a dinosaur. Like, it's they explain the whole thing. Like, the dinosaurs that survived became birds. When you see an eagle, that crazy cunty monster that represents our country. Like, what a perfect thing to represent our country. Like, I always thought the eagle's proud, the eagle's bold. The eagle is a cunty monster from the past that somehow or another has managed to stay alive. And as long as you keep giving it birds, it'll let you fucking hold it. You know, the only thing about eagles is they're not quite big enough to kill us. They're not quite big enough. You know, I'll kill an eagle, man. I'll probably get fucked up a little bit. I'll get scratched up a bit. But if I get a hold of an eagle, I'm going to kill that fucking thing.
Don't take a finger off, right?
Yeah, it'll probably fuck me up pretty bad. I'll probably be cut up pretty hard. But I'm going to win. Yeah. I'm going to kill that fucking eagle. And he knows it. He knows it. He looks at it and he goes, damn, I wish I could kill you, but you're just a little too big. Because an eagle's only like 50 pounds or something, right? You know, they're pretty fucking scary. And they, like I said, they will fucking hurt you. But most likely, they're not going to be able to take you out. But they've tried to pick up kids and shit. Eagles have picked up little boys before. Tried to fly off with you. As a matter of fact, there's a video of an eagle picking up a kid.
That's a fake video, though.
Is it a fake video?
Yeah, that was us, a bunch of students.
Those sons of bitches.
Oh, you're talking to somebody who's scared of chickens.
They got me.
Great video, though.
Like, I see a chicken dog and I panic. Like, I'm scared of chickens. When I see chickens moving, I fucking panic. I don't like that shit at all. I could go into one of those butcher shops that have these animals, those Italian, like Mark Lozano in the East Coast. You ever go to those places where your mom goes in Newark and they have the fucking Italian butcher?
Right,
and you
right.
go in and they have, like, everything. Like, all those what's the bird? Quail.
Right.
Then they'll have, like, a chicken and the other thing. Then they get exotic.
Wow.
Like, they have, like, another thing.
Do they serve eagle?
Depends where you go, you know what I'm saying? Depends who you know.
I know people are into eating, like, shit like eagles, dude.
Right.
But this is the place where you could stick your hand in and the guy would take the chicken out and break its neck.
Wow.
And cut it, and then your mother brings it home for
so you can get, like, pheasants, maybe?
Yeah, they got all that shit. Ones. I mean, in the old days, they probably had, like, polar bear. They don't give a fuck. They had everything. Those Italians had it. What are you going to eat? I need an alligator. We got it. Just give me 15 minutes.
Well, apparently there's a company that will serve you, like, lion steaks. Like,
yeah, there's
they'll
everything.
Sell you,
everything.
Like yeah, like it's some sort of exotic game meat company, and they'll you know, sell you lion. You can eat lion.
And Colorado is known for that shit. Restaurants, Kabloonicks, where you take, we discussed this, where they take you, you meet up at the top of Snowmass Village, and they take you there in those things with the dogs.
Right.
They take you over a mountain, you and your wife, and they put blankets on you. It has to be in the winter. This is real shit. They pick you up at 5:30 sharp. You get there, you come out, and you get all the alligator, fucking,
Dinosaur,
fucking Puerto Rican meat, anything. You can fucking, you can order anything, a fucking rat, anything. It's amazing. I never went there, but I knew the guy that had the dogs that would whip the fucking dogs and shit over there. So we had conversations.
Oh, he's like a sledder, one of those
yeah,
sledder guys?
But I know that if you fly into China, Hong Kong, don't quote me on which continent, there's a restaurant that just specializes in testicles.
Did you see Jesus.
Did you see that shit? Every type of there's one that like belongs to like a fucking olive. It's a stem. And that's the big one that comes in a soup. It's like a testicle soup. I think it's like $1,800 for the fucking soup.
Oh, my God.
You got to look it up. It's disgusting, but it makes you think. People pay to eat animal dick. That's fucking crazy. Can you help? I was looking at that eagle. How funny is that in real life? Like your mom kills somebody in front of you. Like, eat your vegetables.
Yeah.
No, like your mom.
Someone comes in.
In real life, like your mom's like, eat your broccoli. I don't like broccoli. You mother. Bam, bam. What's that?
I know, like an eagle sees. To feed.
Oh my god.
They've been eating this cat.
Oh my god, they're all eating a cat. Holy shit. Oh my god. Dude, that is a creepy, creepy animal. It's really. It just pulled the meat away from its babies, by the way. One of them was like, that is mine.
Well, it's actually been like taking it apart and feeding it. I've been watching it for a while. It's really cute watching this.
Have you ever seen the video of the wolves getting killed by the eagles?
Wolves?
Yeah, guys who have trained eagles. You got to see this. I think it's the Mongols, or is that a motorcycle gang? they have trained eagles, golden eagles, that swoop down and kill wolves. I guess golden eagles are even bigger than bald eagles. I think I should look that up. All right, let me look that up.
Oh, look at that thing!
Jesus Christ, that's big! Look at the size of that thing! And look how it does this. And the dude is all, like, done up in, like, tribal, traditional, like, animal skin clothes. I mean, he's in a harsh, harsh world. And he's got this eagle that he's got trained. And this
thing's swooping in. That's a bad motherfucker, Joe.
Watch this shit. Yo, it goes after a fucking wolf, man. I mean, what a gangster bird.
That's crazy.
I mean, you want to talk about that? That's like the wolf is like almost the top of the food chain. It probably thinks it is the top of the food chain.
Running like it's not, though. It's like, oh shit, yeah, bird.
It knows. What a terrifying feeling that must be, to be a goddamn wolf and still be scared of this evil bird. Look how it takes it out. It just swoops down and grabs the wolf by the back of the neck and just starts jacking it.
Don't you think, though, this wolf could easily just fucking attack this bird and kill it?
No, you would think, but I think the birds are stronger than you think. They're really primitive, wow, man. I mean, they're not like, we look at them like they're all fluffy and shit, but you look at like their musculature and the way they're designed, they're not designed like any other animal. We sort of associate their size with the way we would view like a mammal that was that size. Like, oh, that's, you know, no, not that big a deal. Like if, you know, whatever, a puppy or something, you know, or a dog rather that was that big was trying to go after you, you'd think that a dog that's only 60 pounds is not going to be able to kill you.
Now, what but the fuck was that? What kind of animal was that?
That's a golden eagle.
No, they have. How did they kill that thing with a claw?
Yeah, they claw him in the neck and then they tear him apart. I mean, their claws are unbelievably strong and they're essentially knives. They have like knives on their huge arms. Dude, they can pick up a fucking salmon that's swimming in a river. Stop and think about that for a moment. How strong you have to be to grab a salmon with your hands. You're a big guy, Joey. Do you think you could grab a salmon? Do you think you could hold on to a salmon? There's no fucking way. How about grab it and then fly off with it? Do you know how fucking strong eagles have to be? That's an evil, ancient animal that we're like, it's the noble, proud eagle. Remember that guy that sang those songs? The guy, John Ashcroft, Let the Eagle Soar?
Let the Eagle Soar.
Did you ever hear that song? Did you ever hear that song? When Ashcroft was the Attorney General or something like that? Whatever made up fucking title it was, whatever job distinction he had. He was working for the Bush administration, whatever function they had him in. And he was completely crazy. He was this nutty Christian guy, and he had the most amazing song that he sang once. And when he sang it, everybody knew right away, like, whoa, this guy is fucking nuts. I mean, we knew he was nuts, but what the fuck is this? Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before. And he's saying, yeah, it's mad. You're watching madness. You're watching 100% pure, unfiltered madness. And you're just watching it. All you think of is what kind of twisted shit is this guy doing when he's not doing this? Because if you're that far out there, you're that far out there that you're singing, let the eagle, you know, and you're like, he was like super, super duper Christian. Like, that guy had some fucking bones in his yard, man.
What do you think? Wolverine versus wolf, who would win?
If I had a guess? Pull up that Let the Eagle Soar. I need to hear that.
Now, what's a wolverine?
I would say a wolverine is, it's like a badger, in the badger family. And they're fierce, unbelievably fierce animals. They're crazy looking, too. They look badass, man. It's like Hugh Grant. It doesn't make sense that they call him Wolverine, because the whole idea of Wolverine was supposed to be built like Sean Shirk. He was like a small guy, but he had these crazy muscles, and he had like this adamantium skeleton. He had like some metal skeleton, but he was like a little, like, fierce, thick guy. But then you have the guy who plays him. What's his name again? The dude who
you
plays.
Just said it.
What is it? Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
I know. I just said it. I like him too. Whatever. I blame the weed. But Hugh Jackman is like this beautiful, tall, handsome, you know, like statuesque sort of male model looking dude. It's not really, doesn't work for like that character. The character's supposed to be like a Wolverine. A Wolverine's like, and that's what this guy was like. He was like this hairy dude with his hands would turn into these swords. Like they would come out, these giant knives would come out where his knuckles are, and he would just fuck people up. It was one of the most ruthless superheroes ever when you think about it. I mean, because he would just kill people all the time.
You went to the comic book?
Oh, I fucking love the X-Men, man. Listen to this.
Let the eagle soar.
Yeah.
Like she's never soared before.
That's the real song. I don't know why it's got the cowbell in it.
It's the cowboy edition. Cowbell edition.
The cowbell sucks. There's there was a cowbell thing going on through the internet for a while. Let the eagle soar. That's a crazy person. Shit. That's a crazy person.
Earth guys.
Crazy person with black socks, with stinky feet, sweaty feet all the time, in leather shoes, just wanting to get weird, wanting to stick his thumb up your butt, fucking choke you or something.
What's going on, bro, with Jay-Z going to Cuba?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I saw it in the news.
Did you see that?
I saw it in the news. What was hilarious was that the people in the news were looking at it as a political liability for President Obama, that Jay-Z is, you know, going to Cuba, and it like weakens the Obama position. Like he can't be friends with Jay-Z now. And I'm like, and I was watching that, and I was like, wow, this is weird. This is like they've managed to turn the White House into the Real Housewives of Orange County. Like they literally have managed to turn the White House into like almost a bit of a reality show. Like, oh, what is Obama gonna do about Jay-Z being in Cuba? Oh, that's crazy. That's a really important thing to think about right now, because it's not like there's a country called North Korea that has weapons that it's threatening to shoot at us and has nuclear capability. Yeah, man. What about that rapper, that guy who makes stuff rhyme? Why did he go to that place where everyone's poor? What the fuck?
I just seen the headline from Hotlanta to Havana or something like that. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. It's so weird how right now in today's world, the White House is really, and what's going on around is a reality show compared to what's really going on. The wife is on Conan O'Brien jumping up and down. Or,
it's incredible.
Or whatever. And I got nothing but love for her. I love that woman. But do you understand me? I mean, it's all different. Like, it's like the government is pushing that shit at you to worry about that.
Right.
While what's really, really going on right now is fucking scary. Whether it's Korea, yeah. Whether it's going on. Oh, well, one good thing, the post office ain't going to fucking close now. Did you see that?
No.
It's going to close on Saturday, starting in November.
Oh, yeah?
No more mail delivery on Saturday.
No more mail on Saturday.
Are you serious?
Starting November, but no. They found the money. They found the geeters. Somebody opened their mouth and said, are you fucking serious? I get my copy of my fucking Time Street, whatever the fuck it is, magazine.
You know, I really wonder whether or not we would be better off with a privatization of that. You know, because I think UPS does an awesome job.
Yeah.
I mean, they're amazing. And the Postal Service, the only issues that I've ever had with the Postal Service is going to the actual place, to the actual, you know, place and waiting in line. That's the only issues I've ever had. But the idea that you should have a government company that does what private companies do, like, why would you even need it? You know, why would you need, why do you need a post office? Why do you need, you know, the post office as it exists is great, but shouldn't it exist because of the market? Because it's like, it, you know, it fills a spot. You know what I mean? Like, why should it be the government that does that? That's one of the weird questions of our society. In an ideal world, it would be great if the government did all that stuff, right? In an ideal world, it would be great if we could trust everybody to handle everything. But it seems like everything gets handled best when it gets treated like it's a business, you know? And whenever you have, like, government organizations that are taking places that could be taken place by business, you sort of, like, you're controlling things and regulating things. I mean, obviously, in the post office, it works great, but it doesn't work great in the DMV, right? It doesn't work great in the TSA. It doesn't work. There's a lot of places where it doesn't work great.
Jonathan Winters died.
Yeah, I heard.
Sucks.
Why is it, you know, I hate to bring this up and keep going with this, but why is it that, like, the post office had all those shootings? What happened there?
It's because the workers were overworked. I mean, if you go to the post office,
like back in the day,
it
doesn't happen anymore. Like the shootings don't happen anymore.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not happening anymore. But there was a time. Like if you go to the post office now and you just look at the people that are working there, that looks like the most miserable job ever. They're just sitting there nonstop from 8 a.m. in the morning.
Well, if everybody just used stamps.com, Brian, it would lighten the load. And then there would be less work, and everybody could chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That's a thankless job, man.
I haven't checked my mail, and like I don't check my mail except maybe once a month now. And it's like the worst idea in the world because I'll check it, and there's like all these bills and like late payments and stuff. But I hate the mail so much that now it literally is like a stack this big of mail once a month, and only about 5% of it is something that I need.
Do you pick up the mail or it gets delivered to you?
No, I have a huge mailbox. It's right in front of my house. I just don't even care. I just don't
look at it.
So the post office is completely a government gig, right?
I think it is, yeah.
I have a friend back home, my friend Adam, who's a postman. He's been a postman forever. I used to work out with him at the Boston Athletic Club like back in the day. And he was like a real neighborhood postman. you know, would like go door to door, knew everybody, said hi. They would like give him tips for like Christmas and stuff. It was like a real neighborhood postman. Do they still have those?
Yeah.
Some places still have like a real, a guy who's like, how you doing? Good morning. Like knows everybody. That's
the guy I got
cool.
now is a dick, but the guy, the guy I had in Hollywood, he was a Filipino and he gambled, so I owned him.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I owned him. He delivered to me first. He knew if I would tell him, dog, I'm getting a check this week. Stop by here first. And I'd see him like at 9. He'd give me the check early and shit. Good guy. I still see him. He's still down there.
I wonder if how those guys feel about things like stamps.com. Yeah. I mean, they still have to deliver things. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not affecting them. It's actually probably making them.
Yeah, it's probably like lightening the load a little bit.
Male guys love their fucking job. That's a great job.
Not a bad gig.
You're walking, especially in California, what the male people hate more than fucking we do is the shit they have to deliver. That's why a lot of them, see, I'm talking to you from the other end. I did time with three dudes that dumped the fucking circulars. So if a mailman dumps circulars, they go
to
prison.
What does that mean? What are you talking about?
Circulars. When you get a thing from Ralph's that says grapefruits, 3 for 99 cents.
Spam.
Mm-hmm. Spam in your mailbox.
Right.
I know mail guys that have done time. Like I knew a fucking hippie in Boulder. The coolest motherfucker ever, Tench. Coolest white dude. I loved him. From fucking some white investment in Oklahoma. I loved long hair. He used to, they fucked with him, put in a ponytail. This motherfucker filled his garage.
Oh, no.
For 10 years with the spam. And something happened at his house. He had a fire in the backyard, and they found 10 years worth of hoarding the fucking thing.
He was just stealing it?
No, he didn't want to mail it to people. He thought it was fucking terrible, but he had to do it as part of his job.
Oh.
They threw him in fucking jail.
Oh, they threw him in jail because he didn't send it out.
Yes, those
because he didn't want to spam them.
Yeah, he didn't. He liked the people in his neighborhood, and these people got together and they got his legal defenses down like two years in time. He did federal time, and then I met other guys at Diagnostic who were cool mailmen who just that's the big beef. And my one of the kids I grew up with that I'm very tight with still to this day got fired. And he tells hysterical, like he used to take the little cart into the city to go to RTB.
Right.
And he'd go pick up the grandma blow in the little mail cart, and he'd go back over to Jersey, over the bridge, and he'd throw the mail away. He would tell me how the whole place was. He got fired before he got caught because all their phones, and listen to this, this is 20 years ago. So here you go. You ready for this bomb? They had him on tape 20 years ago gambling on the post office phone.
Oh, wow.
So they've been listening on the phone before 9/11, the Act of 66 that we all buy into.
So they just record.
If you work at a federal agency since 1950, they've been taping everything. When you call home and tell your husband you're going to go home and suck his dick, they got it on tape. You know what I'm saying? It's hysterical. They call them in and play the tapes.
That's hilarious.
And then they said, like, until this day, we said, well, what if they're investigating the bookmaker? He goes, no, we weren't calling the bookmaker. My shift ended at 12.
How come no one's ever done a movie about wild ass mailmen?
Because
some crazy mailmen stealing shit and finding like some check and figuring
out how
to cash
what the
it.
Shit they find.
Yeah,
they fucks probably a lot of chicks too. Like, you know, like they, I mean, like they walk around. There's like these girls that are at home by themselves. You know, these wives that you know they probably know the mailman.
If you're around the right skanks, you can make it happen.
Oh, and do me a favor for all you tough guys
or the right ones
for all you tough guys. Touch your mailman.
Touch him.
Get into a beef with your mailman one time.
Oh, this is a federal employee. Yeah, that's a police officer, isn't it?
Tell your mailman one time, hey, fucko, if you're going to come over here, don't fucking hit the gate because my baby. Say that to your mailman one time and see what happens to you.
Why? How about don't say that?
Because let me tell you something. Within 15 minutes, you have a police car at your house, and then you'll have another fucking employee, some car that you've never seen before. And they fucking knock. I had a friend that hit a mailman with a Frisbee.
Oh, no.
In Arizona, they were doing that shit. And the guy cut across, and they hit him with a Frisbee, and they laughed. So the guy thought it was done intentionally. Dog, this guy did a year in fucking jail.
It's
a heavy-duty fucking assault charge touching a fucking mailman. But in Boulder one time, this is an interesting story. In Boulder, there was a guy that got bit by a dog, so now his phobia, he hated dogs, but he needed the job as a mailman. So if you left your dog in the yard, he would spray your dog. With shit to the face. So one woman was home one day, heard the dog, you know, the dog's outside and seen the mailman fucking spray him. And she told the neighbors some other dog had died in that route. And the guy waited for him. This is 86 in Boulder. Guy waited for the mailman next day. He took him to fucking Boulder. You got to be careful, bro. He took him in that fucking backyard. him and his brother and drew a beat on this fucking guy. I think one of them went to jail. The other, Boulder's a fucking crazy place like that. When you don't know who you're messing with.
Well, a lot of those people in Colorado are the descendants of old cowboys. I mean, you got to think like back a few generations.
Can you imagine fucking the mailman up? Like, come here, motherfucker. Well, they did it in Goodfellas, but
well, if a guy kills your dog, you know that you love, you might be willing to do a little time. You know, there's some pieces of shit out there, man. There's some pieces of shit that'll kill your dog. Fucking poison it. They don't care. I have a friend who moved to a place. He had a barky dog. Someone poisoned his dog. You know? I mean, that's crazy shit, man. You know, I mean, I can understand that you have a problem with it. It sucks. It sucks that some guy has a barky dog, but poisoning the dog is crazy. I mean, not only that, it was like a big area. He lived in like a big rural area. So his dog wasn't even on a leash. Like his dog was allowed to roam free. But apparently, people didn't like it. This new dog moved in the neighborhood and started barking, so they just poisoned it. You know, that's just... I hate when people get defined in life as being like an animal lover or not. I mean, everybody's an animal lover. We're all lovers of animals that you can trust, you know? And when you meet a person and they have like a cool dog, like you know a friendly person by their friendly dogs, you know? It's like the idea that you could do that, just spray dogs in the face. That's like a sociopathic sort of thing. That little dog that you have is ridiculous.
It's so cute.
It's really cute.
It's not even real. It's not even real, man. Your dog's not even real.
It barked for his first time last night in 4 days. And
did you come?
No. I have mirrors in my bedroom, like on the doors. And he just sits there and stares at himself because he doesn't understand mirrors. And finally, last night, he went crazy on the mirrors and just barked his first time. It was so cute.
Oh, that's hilarious. He's so cute, man. It's ridiculous.
I found something. I've been cleaning out my office. I found something the other day, and it completely opened up like a memory that I completely forgot about when I was younger. And this is so crazy. I can't believe I forgot this. We used to have this thing called time and temperature. Do you guys remember? Do you guys have it where you live where you called a phone number and
yes.
said, like, the time is?
Yes. Yeah.
And the temperature. Remember that?
29 cents a call. At the end of the month, your mother will almost fucking kill you.
I didn't know that.
You got $80 in fucking time and temperature. Who's falling fucking time and temperature? I got 18 fucking clocks all over the house.
I remember that. When I was a kid, I had a calling card. And if I didn't know the time, I could use my calling card at a fucking phone booth and call and get the time and temperature. How stupid is that?
The one in Ohio was free, I think, and it was just a phone number you called. But what happened is at one point something broke where like anyone else that was calling could talk to the other people listening. So it became a chat room for like 3 months. You would call time and temperature, and suddenly you're like, hello, are you there? Anyone there? And you're like, yeah, I'm here. How are you? You know, like, you start talking to people. So I met this girl on time and temperature, and I got her phone number. And then we started talking for like 2 weeks, and she said she went to a different school and all this stuff. And then she was a virgin, and she was like, I will pay you $100 if you sleep with me. And I was like, yes, I will take that money. I was 17. I was like, $100? That's amazing. So I was kind of scared of how she looked and everything like that. She came over it was when I lived with my mom, and my mom was out of town. She came over one weekend, never met this girl, just talked to her a few times on the phone, met her on time and temperature. She comes over, and she was like a lot older. Like, I'm 17. She was probably like 30. And I was like, all right, and she acted like she was in high school the whole time, and I just was like, I guess she's in high school, but like I knew that she was older, like, and then she wrote me a check with her name on it, and I was like, oh, you have a checkbook? Wow, that's cool. Like, I was 17, I didn't have a checkbook.
You were impressed that she could write checks.
And I fucked her, and I now looking back at it, I never even thought about it. She was totally an older chick that was fucking young girl guys.
Yeah,
like she. I was underage, and she paid me. I was a hooker at 17.
That was her scam. She used to call time and weather. What a fucking scam!
And pick up kids, because only kids were doing that. Like, I remember, like, this was like a chat line for kids, and I would be like, "Oh, what's going on? Yeah, Worthington Rules."
Wow. So she was just some crazy freak bitch that was fucking 17-year-olds.
Yeah, meeting them on time and temperature.
That's amazing. But did she know you were 17?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said I went to high school, and she said she went to this other high school that was like 20 minutes away.
Is it possible that she just did a lot of meth?
Honestly, when she first came over, I was like, oh, my God, I'm in trouble. This is the person's mom. But then she was the girl, and then she, like, we didn't barely talk. I remember she walked in and we talked for a second. I just turned off the lights in my living room. We fucked on the floor and she gave me a check and she left.
Oh,
and
my
it was
God.
Like in and out half
did
hour.
Did you spend the money?
It took me a while to cash the check because I didn't have a checking account. And so I had to, like, I think I had to like get it cashed at a grocery store or something. But yeah, I spent the money. It's crazy. I totally forgot story. About it, though.
Wouldn't it be an amazing reality show to follow that woman around?
Yeah.
Like, if you could go back in time and just watch how she did it in the age of no internet, just find young guys and meet them somewhere and just fuck them and pay them. Actually pay them. Like, how crazy was that chick? Do you think she was that crazy, or maybe it was just, like, a one-time thing where she just lost her mind and got caught up in the thrill of the moment?
Yeah, I have no idea, man.
Think about how creepy that move is. But then again, how creepy are we? We make believe we're on the payphone at the bottom of the stairs at the Comedy Store and watch the chicks come in and out of the bathroom. And all you got to do is wait. Out of 10 of them, somebody's going to be drunk and somebody will
they
suck
should have
dick.
Never taken down that payphone.
That payphone. No.
That payphone pay was phone a piece of history.
Oh, my God.
They should put a payphone back there. Yeah. They should find a payphone from
take it
that
down?
Era.
And yeah, they took it down, yeah. And they also took the one down at the Improv that used to be outside of it.
They shouldn't do that.
But you know what's still there at the Comedy Store is where, like, all the guy comics come in and they tilt the window. So it's like perfectly so you can go to the stairs outside and just sit there and look down and see any girls in the bathroom.
Oh, that's so gross. That's so gross. Dude, that's so fucked
that's
up.
That's why whenever I like my girls or like I'm with a friend.
Dude, that's
or like
that's really illegal.
That's super
you shouldn't
illegal.
Even really be talking about that on the phone or on the podcast.
Allegedly. I've never done it.
Yeah, well, what's more
that's,
illegal?
That's really creepy. Too.
Sitting down by the phone waiting for fucking pigeons
fucking
to come.
Creepy. If you're a girl,
oh no, looking
some
through
guy
a window,
can look
yeah,
in while you
disgusting.
Shit. That's disgusting.
That's disgusting. That,
you're a piece that's of disgusting. Shit. That's a terrible human being, and you're like thinking it's all silly.
Put a mirror on your foot.
Jamie Kilstein would be yelling at you right now.
I don't
crying
do,
out
I
rape
don't
culture.
Do it. I don't do it. I'm just saying that I've noticed they do that. Though.
Yeah,
and I could probably.
Well, you, someone should fucking black that out, man. You just call the manager, and they have to do. Now they're gonna have to. By the way, you just fucked it up.
We've all done creepy things, but that's one of the creepy
all
things
creeps.
I don't fucking like.
You all you creeps are not gonna be able to pull that off anymore because you talked about it on the podcast. Now the Comedy Store is gonna have to fix that, or they'll be liable.
It's funny because every time
you have to let them know, man. If you let go in there, you better let them know for real. Because people are going to talk about it on the podcast. That's a big issue, man. You're making it out like it's not a big issue, but looking in on girls, like fixing a mirror or a window to look in on girls while they shit, that's like seriously against the law and seriously creepy.
Yeah, I agree.
But you're just joking around about
no,
it on a podcast.
I mean, I'm saying that every time I have a girl, I'm with a girl and she goes to the bathroom, that's the one thing I say. Make sure those things are shut when you go in there, the blind things, the...
Well,
I mean, if you go in there as a girl, though, and you see it, it's obvious, like, all right, there's an open window right here. I should shut this.
That shit's ridiculous. It shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be like that. And a girl shouldn't have to be, especially in a place where they're serving alcohol.
Yeah.
The last thing that should have to happen is a girl should have to worry about who could be possibly looking through a window while she's shitting.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. That's complete nonsense. Someone fix that, stupid.
Are those edible? You just eat Joey Diaz edibles? Be careful.
You're a dangerous man.
Jam band's going to be jamming.
Yeah, these edibles are potent
well,
shit.
No, those are the pretzels. They're okay. That's a whole bag. That's 130. This fucking thing will kill you. This little, it's like a Tootsie Roll. Fucking kill you. Kill you. It's amazing. By next year in California, there's going to be like zombies. There will be zombies.
Yeah.
Because they're going to double this. This is 4 fucking loads. They're gonna double us.
Don't say that.
People are gonna be walking around with shirts ripped open,
like zombies.
You know, like zombies and shit. That is fucking crazy. You know, we've all done. I don't know. I don't remember looking through the peephole over there.
You don't?
No,
that's
I
gross.
Do remember doing like just. It was just fucking crazy. The shit that you try to think of all the crazy women that I met through there. Over the years and the different situations, it's fucking kind of crazy. You could write a book, and it's kind of disgusting.
Oh, at the Comedy Store, you're saying?
Disgusting.
You know what the beautiful thing about the Comedy Store was? The camaraderie between comics. Like, we all sit in that back and hang out. That was there was so much camaraderie in that place.
It's like having
and I guess
it
still is.
Yeah, it's like having an employee meeting with your peers
yeah.
every night.
And it was so loosely regulated, you know?
It's getting more tighter now, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, you kind of have to do that. It should have probably been tighter a long time ago. But the real issue was always, you know, how do you run a club and run a business and then still sort of let the comedians do whatever the fuck they want?
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't work out. Comedians wreck your place, you know? That's why I always try to contribute to that place as much as I could. Like, I would do it for free. I pay for the sound system there. It's like...
Well, you need to go back there and pay for a new sound system.
No.
That's bullshit.
I'm sure it is. It's a sound system I bought in, like, 2001 or some shit. Yeah. You know, it's an old sound system.
It's so scary there, too, because I do the show up in the belly room, and up in the belly room is, like, falling apart. Like, I went to plug something in, and, like, all the electricity went out. And then I'm like, these outlets are not legal. Like, no. This is impossible. Like, you would, like I'll turn on, like,
keep throwing them under the bus, Brian. Keep it up.
Yeah,
you keep it up. You're, like, fucking...
What are you trying to do,
oh,
man?
Oh, my God.
You know, there's going to be people that are going to think it's a conspiracy. Well, what I know is that Joe Rogan had a problem with us. Next thing, his little bitch, Brian Redman.
What the fuck,
okay?
Brian? What else
He's
is
just... Talking about making lies about our security staff, who's some of the finest in Los Angeles, okay? I handpicked them myself.
The fucking thing almost blew up. The thing's from 1920, people. She's dead.
It's old,
who's running
old,
that motherfucking
building,
place?
Man. She's
what
not,
the fuck?
I have nothing but love for her.
I got love
for
her, too, but
always
she's got
will.
One foot in the grave, one a banana peel. That's
she's
just the
very,
way
she's
is.
Very unhealthy, but
she's
I love
very
that
unhealthy.
Woman.
You know, I've
never had any issue with her.
Neither have I, but I'm talking about the building that it's fucking.
Yeah, no,
nobody's
I know.
Watching it. No, there's no maintenance man walking around in the daytime looking at the fucking... the plugs.
No, no one's
shit.
Paying attention.
You
it's
know.
It's a. Well, I don't know about.
And she
now,
didn't
want to
lift a rock for a roof
wasn't.
18 years ago. That motherfucker must be leaking like a motherfucker
oh,
by
yeah.
now. That
yeah,
thing that she didn't
want
to go. Remember, she had Bob Baker up there putting spackle on that motherfucker, made of coke and fucking black tar and all that shit.
Black
when you got
tar,
Bob Baker
spackle.
On your roof, fucking roofing your building, you got fucking problems.
Whatever
guy.
Happened to that guy?
Who the fuck knows? He fucking jumped off a roof. Fuck him. It's fucking California. It's 80 degrees outside. Fuck Bob Baker. Fucking Bob Baker putting fuck. Come on up, help me. Are you fucking crazy? I'm gonna fall through that roof. I got nobody to sue.
Do you remember when the guys were launching water balloons?
Oh, yeah.
From
we
the
were
roof?
Just talking about that the other day.
Yeah. What era was that? That was like
that was about 7 years ago. It was Steve Renazzisi.
Hey, it was who the fuck are you talking about? Jesus Christ, son. You need to go to a doctor. I swear to God,
what
you need to go to a doctor.
5 years
why
before
would you
I got
that? Look, what if somebody was shot?
I heard the
story. Now we can't tell the story.
I heard the story 5 years before I got there. When Tupac shot the gun in there,
oh, yeah.
It was all a black club, and they used to have metal detectors at the door in 95.
I never saw that. I was there. I was there
oh,
in 94. It wasn't like that.
They
would just
me.
Have, like, Fat Tuesdays would get crazy.
But the one night, Eddie Griffin was saying, one night Tupac went in there, and they had a shootout, and everybody ran, and Mitzi banned him because she thought it was him. In fact, the bullets are still on the brick.
In the belly room, right?
Yeah. There's one in the thing still, yeah, from Tupac.
I wouldn't doubt that there was some crazy shit that went down there. Because they did have some crazy shit happen there. Even, like, Kinison shot a gun in that place. There's a hole in the back sign that came from Kinison's gun.
Yeah.
It's still there. The hole's still there. It's kind of fucking cool, you know, just to be around a place where Sam Kinison lost it and shot a hole in a fucking sign. I think it was about Dice, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think
we should ask him.
About, I think we talked about
did
it
we?
With Dice. Yeah.
Probably did. My memory's done.
You know, it's crazy.
It's filled.
My memory's done, too.
My memory's, it's filled. It's like I got no room. I'm taking in too much information lately.
It's crazy that 30 years from now, you know, any day now, they're going to call and say somebody offered them $10 million for that property, Joe.
Oh, the store?
Yeah. Any day now. Any day, somebody's going to break and go, you know what? What the fuck? Let's buy that side, this side, the side across the street.
Well, you know, it's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, it's worth a lot of money.
The history of that place is just undefiable.
No, the history is undefiable, but some Japanese
undefiable.
Group, some Japanese group who don't give a fuck about ha-has and
that's true.
Is going to show up with 60 mil, put an underground casino in there, whatever the fuck they do, because all those streets are haunted. And you know what? We're going to be driving by there, and a tea is going to come, because it's just...
Is it possible to still pull something like that off today? Is someone willing to gamble that much money today, or is this a tricky economy? I don't know.
Something
that
seems
location,
like... Every time you go to Vegas... Fine. Every time you go to Vegas, aren't they building a new fucking
always,
building?
Always, right?
Somebody's talking to somebody.
Right.
Telling them that the future's bright, going to be brighter.
You know what it also is, too? They just adjust. Like, instead of making $10 billion, okay, we're making $5 billion. We cool? We cool with $5 Let's be cool with $5 billion. And they just cut it in half, and now they're
and they take a loss. They take a loss.
Something.
All those guys have something that's losing dough. That's part of the fucking angle to write off and have a good time. And
but to take that place down, it would be so sad.
Every place has gone down. Even fucking Arnold's went down on Happy Days. You know what I'm saying?
What was Arnold's?
The fucking hamburger the show. They take everything down, Joe.
That's not real.
Whatever. Whatever. Who knows whether it was real or not, but they shoot. They fucking take everything the fuck down. And that's, you know, that's the reality. It's so weird. I don't even go to that side of Sunset.
I don't. I drive by it and I feel guilty.
When I had my ear infection, I had to go to the Cienega to go get a hearing test. And I drove past and it was amazing. I'm like, when was the last time I drove on this side of fucking Sunset?
When you and I used to hang out there between, like, was it, like, I think, like, 98?
97? 97?
You started coming around 97?
2005 I was in there, man.
God, I wish you guys would just hang out with us one day. No, it's so fun. Me, Don Barris, and all of us, Tony Hinchcliffe, all just sitting in the back, shooting the shit, smoking too much weed.
You can't go back.
The same people, the same people who were in charge back then during the Menstelia incident, they're still in charge.
The only person there is one person.
For me, that's forgotten.
The same people, man.
For me, that angle of it is forgotten. I take it from a different angle. That was then, this is now. There's nothing I can do to bring that back. Why don't I go home, get my football jacket and put it on and hang out in front of my high school?
Well, the improv, listen, the improv has never been anything but cool to me.
No, they're very cool. The improv is so nice to me. Plurals.
Yeah, all of them.
Improv's plural.
Exactly.
Fucking cool.
We work all of them.
All of them.
All of them. They're great. And on top of that, I mean, there's also the Laugh Factory. Jamie Masada's a wacky dude.
Dynamite,
he's always been nice to me.
Dynamite.
And then there's the fucking Ice House, which is the greatest club in the history of the world. That's our backyard. I don't even need to go anywhere else.
I'm happy. I'm fucking happy as hell.
The thing that's cool, though, is that all of you, like, if you guys were to have come last night on the patio, as an example, you guys would have been like, oh, my God, there's like 30 people here that I know all in one big group. Everyone's got their dogs now. Yeah. And it's like
a
family.
You from
it's
a
like
different
a family
angle.
Reunion.
I'm hit you from a different
it's an amazing
angle.
Place.
I'm going to hit you from a different angle.
Oh, no.
This is the angle I look at it as. This is the same angle I look at it. The angle I'm looking at is I remember being up there and being 30 and seeing old guys hanging up there and going, what the fuck? I got to hear this story when he was here.
That's just the old sad ones.
You know, I'm so insecure when it comes to that, Joe.
I saw Carlin there, dude. Carlin hung out at the
back
of the comic
store. Yeah, but that was one night.
I know, but
he
doesn't live here.
You know those guys that become that all of a sudden? I don't want to be that guy, bro.
But, you know, there's guys like Dom Herrera. He'll stop in. He just bangs out his set, hangs out a little bit. Dom Herrera is one of the coolest motherfuckers. That guy is... He's like a real stand-up, you know? Like
did you know I got the weekend with him? Did you hear this?
You guys are working together?
One weekend together at the Ice House. The last week of July, four shows.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
Gonna be,
it's going to crush.
We're going to light the building on fire once and for
all. It's going to implode.
By the way, me and Joey are there tonight.
Huh? Let me tell you something. Yeah. Dom Herrera is one of the most underrated headliners ever. That's my take on him. When he's on, when Dom Herrera, like, I did that show with him at the Factory, and he was on. Dude, he's fucking brilliant.
His timing is
he's
brilliant.
Hilarious. The shit that he comes up with, the quit, and he constantly writes. He's constantly writing. He's constantly, like, looking at the news, coming up with new shit.
I've heard two beautiful jokes the last 6 months that are brilliant. The one joke was the one my boy said on the Oscars when he said that right now the show's being viewed by 2 billion people. That's why Jodie Foster's going to come up here and ask you about her privacy, something like that. That's a well-written joke. Dom Herrera, athletic joke.
That's a great joke.
That is one of the best jokes I have heard in a long time.
Well, Dom's
since
a big joke.
Since Joanna Nicole. That is one. Let's get down. Say the fucking, the athletic, that's an athletic neighborhood.
Yeah.
It is such a fucking, and you know
where
he's going.
Yeah, I don't
want
to even say the joke.
I don't want to, I don't know, I don't want to say it.
You got to see it.
Please,
if you get a chance to see him.
See this, because
but
you
guys
know
are,
what?
Where is this that you guys are going to work together?
The Ice House.
The Ice House, when
the last week of July, like four shows.
Oh my God. We got
two shows Friday, two Saturday, and I'm honored because, you know what? After I've been watching that Wednesday night he's got at the Laugh Factory is when you really get to see Dom Herrera.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. He's in the catcher's seat. His legs are open.
I think it's Tuesday,
ball.
Right? Is he
Tuesday?
Tuesday?
What's in it? Busting balls with Dom.
Oh, Wednesday, too. He does more than one show there, right?
So go different on the line ones. And take a look. Yeah. No matter who he got there, sometimes, and I don't like to say this, sometimes he's got, and you'll understand what I'm saying, Joe, sometimes he's got a comic on there that doesn't shine in the social avenue of comedy.
Right.
Sometimes some people just so introverted.
Right.
Go watch him with those people. he brings it to life.
Right.
And he's brilliant. He turns it around and bop, bop, bop.
Well, he's so friendly. It's like he's easy to like banter with back and forth.
When they called me and asked me, I said, yeah, why not? I just watched. Now I watch somebody for four shows and I get a different flavor. It's very tough to learn from somebody when you watch 10-minute sets in L.A.
Yeah.
L.A. to me doesn't give. People come out, and I'm not discouraging people that are coming out and going, oh, I'm going to see Joe Rogan. Excuse me, at the Comedy Store. That's a 20-minute set.
At least.
I sometimes sit tight in your neighborhood. We'll get there.
Right.
But to see a 10-minute Dom Herrera
and
a 45-minute Dom Herrera,
yeah,
it's two different fucking people.
Yeah, I think it's that way with you as well. I think it's that way with anybody.
Yeah.
I've seen you do 10-minute sets, and I want to see you do a half hour.
Let's
40.
Let's fuck around.
I think at a certain point in time, I'm done. I'm cool if someone wants to do 50 minutes of hard shit. I don't mind that. But I really like a long set. Like, when you get into a guy and you start laughing at his stuff, you want to keep laughing. You want to keep going. You want him to keep going. Like Norton, I saw Norton in Austin, and he had like a 50-minute set. I was like, wow, that's almost like a perfect time, because he had like two guys go on before him, and he fucking devastated for 50 minutes. And then after the 50 minutes was over, he's like, you feel like perfect. Like it was this, he just nailed it. He blasted. It's like an episode of Game of Thrones. It's about 50 minutes. It's not really an hour. It's like, just blasts you with hilarious shit, and then you're like, that was great. It was like the perfect amount. There's just like a balance there, trying to find the perfect amount. How much is a little too much? How much is a little too little? But those 10-minute sets are always too little. It's hard. It's not bad for fucking
around. No, I love it. I love it. I love going to the local places and doing 15 or something just to get out of the fucking house.
Yeah.
I was out the last two nights, and I had a blast. I went to my spot in Orange, and packed with Death Squad people. People brought pictures of chimps.
Oh, I'm sure.
At the fucking chimp. What's that? And it's a sandwich bar. Can you believe that? Sandwiches. I've told you about this place before. And then last night I went to a place in Alhambra. This place was on fucking fire. It was balcony.
Alhambra. Just said this is
comedy on a balcony.
Oh no.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Outside?
Outside on like the third floor.
Wow.
It was like the second night. They did it like once a month.
Who was with you?
By myself. They called me like yesterday. Oh, we had a fall.
How was that? What was that like?
Tremendous. 30 minutes. I was home by 11:30.
And it's all people coming out to see you?
Mixed, like local guys put it together and shit. It's amazing that some weeks I stay home and some weeks I go, this week I'm going out five nights just to feel what that's like.
Right.
And I'll do five nights with the Friday being the highlight of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take Saturday off. I'm home or something. I'll stay home with the wife. Whatever the fuck, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But some nights I like doing that, some weeks. Tuesday night I did something really cool. I did Ari's thing.
Oh, the storyteller show?
Yeah, at the theater with the Comedy Central. And it was good to see our brother. That was his baby.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's filming it for Comedy Central now?
Yeah. So it was, when Ari called me, he was embarrassed. I'm like, oh, it does this. And I go, Ari, I don't care if it goes on ComedyCentral.com. I don't care if it ever fucking goes.
Why is he embarrassed?
I could just see he was like, he thought he was going to call me like with a Carnegie Hall gig.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it was beautiful, Joe.
Well, if they're going to put it on ComedyCentral.com,
yeah,
it'll get a lot of views.
Just
and then,
to see that he put this together. This was, he had two sets worked out. The camera, he had makeup on. He wasn't neurotic Jew. He wasn't mumbling,
Ari's legit now.
Ari is very legit.
Ari's legit.
And it's really weird to see a guy that really paid his dues. I saw him when we got to the store. He would sit back there like a nerdy motherfucker with that haircut. And all of a sudden, one day, he busted out with like 92 commercials. And the whole time, he was going out and fucking everything, and we had hemorrhoids in his ass. Remember this shit the size of a finger?
We started taking Ari on the road was like, when was it? What year was
95.
It? Was it that early?
Yeah.
You started taking?
No, 2005. No. I'm sorry.
It was way earlier. Yeah, way later than that. I think it was before 2006.
Maybe 2005.
Because I remember it was a Mike Young couldn't make a gig. And Ari came instead.
Denver, yeah.
And in Denver. And Ari fucking destroyed. And he was only doing comedy a few years back then. But to him, like, it was like, I think it was probably the biggest crowd he'd ever had. And then, like, his development from then on, really a lot of it was, like, going up in front of these giant crowds. Like, he went from, like, open mics to, like, doing these sold-out gigs. And in between, he would do the store. And Ari went, like, in front of our eyes from being, like, a guy just starting out to being, like, a fucking legit headline that I would go see. Like, if I was in, like, say, if I lived in a town, if I lived in Utah or some shit like that, and Ari was going to Wise Guys, I would go see Ari. Like, that's like, I'm a comedy fan. I would go see that. And that's, it's crazy to watch. It's crazy to watch.
It's crazy.
It's crazy to watch it happen to you too, man.
It's crazy.
And Duncan as well.
And it's crazy how much it means to me now. Like, in the early, when I was here, it didn't mean to me enough now. Like, now I have to sit down and write it out.
Right.
I have to really think about it. I have to think about my thoughts. I have to think about, because I don't want people to be disappointed.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't want to write material that's bad for me. I want it to be, you know.
Right, you have
fucking
a.
Fucking my thing and your.
Responsibility.
Realm. I'm the same way. I want to do 50 minutes an hour when I want to be out. I want to smoke dope. You know, I want to drink some fucking water. You know, whatever. It's been a real pleasure lately. It's been a real. The whole Twitter, the whole writing, it really has fucking made me sharp. You know, the podcasting. The fucking podcasting is to a different level now.
Yeah.
You know, we get on here now. I could listen to a podcast now for 15 minutes, and I could tell what's good and bad. It's radio-ish. When we do a podcast, they tap into a conversation. It's like walking in, sitting down, and going, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Let me finish my sandwich. And next thing you know, you just listen and learn.
Well, it's like they get to see you in the most real environment possible, like the most real you possible. Like, I don't feel represented by in things in 140 characters. Like, when I write things on Twitter, a lot of times I write, I'm like, oh, how's that going to be conveyed? You know what I mean? It's only 140 characters. When I hear you say something, I know exactly what you're saying. I know where it's coming from on you, your inflection, your pause, the seriousness in your voice, the intensity in your tone, whatever it is. I know what you're saying. It's hard to express yourself on Twitter, but on the podcast, that's where people grow to love you, man. And then they hear that voice on Twitter when they read your tweets. They know you. They know your voice. I mean, you know who you are. So they see that in your
amazing.
Tweets.
It
works, but it's a lot of things on Twitter. Like people. I had an issue this week where people. I've had a few, but people keep getting upset. At things that I'll write on Twitter that I think are pretty obvious jokes. Yeah, they're kind of douchey. Like I said about something about male vegans. I said, if you call yourself a male vegan, I hope you choke to, male feminists. I said that if you call yourself a male feminist, I hope you choke to death on vegan pizza while crying to a Lady Gaga song. Okay? I'm just joking. All right? Re-fucking-lax. 140 characters, when you say something like that, people are like, oh, he hates all male feminists, or he hates feminists, or he's a chauvinist, or something like that. It's like, no, but let's be honest. How many guys that you talk to that are male feminists are really annoying? How many? It's most of them. Most guys who are male feminists are really annoying.
Who's a male feminist?
What is a male feminist?
There's been a few. Listen, the ideals behind it, nothing wrong with it. The ideal, can we get some more of those coconut things? Okay. And some of the cocoa cafes, man, those are the shit.
Yeah, I'll have a cocoa cafe.
But this, the tweet, I just, first of all, it all started out. I got pissed off, and I talked about this a little bit on the Ice House Chronicles. So there was some lady that was saying nasty shit about kids, like didn't like kids. And so I wrote on Twitter that I view women who don't like kids the same way I view dogs that like to eat their own shit. Like, that's how I look at them. I'm like, oh, what is that, you know? It was just being a fly on the wall during a shitty conversation, right? So I write that down on Twitter. And then people get angry at me, like, you're equating women to shit-eating dogs, and... No, not exactly. I mean, yes and not exactly. What I'm basically saying is it's kind of a gross thing when someone doesn't like kids, and that's what I was feeling at the time. But I didn't, you know, I probably shouldn't have wrote women. I probably should have wrote men. I didn't think about it because it was actually a woman who was doing it. And I always like it when I see women that like kids, especially because I have kids. And women that like kids are, like, cute to the kids, and it's kind of fun. But I should have said people. And not, you know, men or women. And I should have probably said hate instead of not like. Because people are saying, if women don't want to have children, then they're pieces of shit. That had nothing to do with what I meant. I don't care if a woman doesn't want to have kids. You should absolutely be able to do whatever you want to do. And I could totally understand not wanting to take on the responsibility of kids if you're a woman. That's not what I'm saying. I don't mean doesn't want to have one. What I meant was doesn't like them. That's it. Like, people who don't like you, like, these fucking kids away from me. That's creepy. That irks me. It irks me with anybody, with men or women. But I saw a woman do it, so I tweeted about that. Then I started getting all these white knight feminist dudes that were giving me a hard time. I'm like, man, you weak bitches. You better shut your mouth. You silly fucks. It was just like over and over again, this nonsense about, you know, this contributes to violence against women and your attitudes are misogynistic. I'm like, what? I'm talking about someone who doesn't like kids. That's it. That's all I'm saying. You know, and I'm saying in 140 characters. And maybe it's like, it's just a stupid way to say anything controversial. You know, maybe Twitter, if you don't want to be misunderstood, and if you don't want to have to explain yourself, don't say anything controversial, you know, because anything, because people look, because it's such a limited form of expression, they can all of a sudden imply all sorts of meaning to it and then write whole blogs about this implied meaning. They all of a sudden have like this whole cause, and all they're doing is misinterpreting an original statement. But because it's so narrow in its definitions, because it's only 140 characters, there's so much room for just them bullshitting and coming up with their own meaning. You know, so it's I had a bunch of feminists write blogs about me. It was hilarious, like reading all this, like my misogynistic attitudes and this and that. Like, that's about as far from the truth as I hope. You know, I always try to be as open to everybody as possible. I like being a man, but I don't have any problem with anybody just because they're a woman. I think that's completely ridiculous. I think though that. There's a lot of fuckery in this world, man. And there's a lot of people that are full of shit on both sides of the fence.
Hail Satan.
That Hail Satan thing. Yeah, that's Duncan had this thing he did.
It was a wedding.
Anton LaVey. Is that his name? Anton LaVey.
Yeah.
And that's him, right?
Yeah.
And he was he asked me to do devil horns and wear his t-shirt. And look at the and take a picture.
It was a cool wedding, and Danzig was played there with what's that guy? The Hank Williams III was there.
Yeah, I didn't get to meet that guy. I wanted to meet him though because I love the Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, he goes, "Will you wear my shirt and do the devil horns?" I'm like, "Yeah, fuck it, dude, I'll do it." And then I got all these people saying Joe Rogan is a Satanist. Like, that is for real. That is like the dumbest form of Satanism. Like, you really thinking that that's Satanism? Me standing there with a tribute. What does it say? A tribute to what?
Tribute to. So, it doesn't say.
666.
666.
Whatever.
Well, they're also saying your tattoos have satanic things in them.
Oh,
I've been seeing a lot of crazy things lately. Where it's like your left arm, I think, has like some kind of. Satanic snake on it or something.
What?
That's what they're saying.
It's fucking dragon to represent my ferocious spirit, son.
Shame on people, dog.
People are just silly.
Shame on people who take the time to fucking acknowledge that shit and to blow it
but
up.
But we are in the Illuminati. We can't
well, it's,
that.
You know, but also, no, shut up, Brian.
Yeah,
but it's also people on both ends. Like, you're choosing to get upset about some really ridiculous shit.
You ever
shit.
Read a tweet and you go to that person's page and you go, I get it.
Person's
Once
page?
I read somebody's tweet and I go to their main page, I can add it right in 1 minute. I go, I get it. I get where he was coming from. Mm. I understand why he said that. He's a musician. He's that. He's a politician. He sells this. He likes, like, today somebody hit me. Then I ran. He's a Paul Reiser fan. I get it. You're a fucking mook. You know what I'm saying? I never met a Paul Reiser fan. So if you're a Paul Reiser fan, shoot yourself in the fucking mouth right now. You know what I'm saying? That's
oh,
it.
My
once,
goodness.
If I go to somebody's page and I see, like, music, and I know the music sucks, that's where it ends. Because if his choice of music sucks, that's what. If I don't see fucking one of my three on there, like, I remember going to people's. There's two things I judge on people. I don't judge people by money or nothing. I judge people by their music collection. If I look at your music collection, and you don't have Sabbath, Paranoid. If you don't have the staples, Zeppelin II, those are the staples. If you don't have Zeppelin II, why are we here? Why I'm not smoking dope with you. Why are you wasting my fucking time? I'm over here. You got like the best of Judy Grant. You know what I'm saying? That's and number two, when you open up somebody's refrigerator.
There's certain yeah, it's true.
You open that tells me everything. If you're a fucking mook, if you're a mutt, if I see like low end beer, you're a fucking mutt. I ain't never coming here.
Aren't there certain people that they have music laying around just because it's cool?
Tons of them. That's
yeah.
why.
Like,
well, there's,
look,
a,
like
there's a generation of people
yeah.
that want to say, and I know this, and I don't hate you, because I'm kind of the same way, that they don't want to like Floyd. They prefer to listen to, oh, that's so commercialized.
Yeah.
Or listen to Morrissey. You know, or they make you feel bad. The worst being the Tom Waits era. Those motherfuckers are the ones I want to punch them right in the fucking face. Because they're the ones, you're having a good time listening to something, you're bopping. They want to, like, really impress, like, some fucking dumb chick with freckles or something. You know, that everybody's fucked already. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Everybody fucked. All you need is tequila and a gram of blow, and she'll be sucking your dick in the fucking bathroom.
Whoa.
But you want to be cool. And listen to Tom Waits. Have you listened to Tom Waits? You want to fucking shoot yourself.
Yeah, I don't like it.
If that's good singing, you want that, you're fucking an idiot. But the only reason that people would put that shit on is to try to overpower you with their fucking Star Wars. What do you call that? The fucking thing with the mind jet.
The Jedi mind trick.
That's it. Oh, he's so... Oh, my God, he likes Tom Waits. Listen to that
right,
shit.
Right, they're trying to make
Let me sit you down with a gun next to your head. You tell me if that's true. That's good singing. That's good fucking singing. That's the Beatles. I'll fucking shoot you. I'll fucking put a gun to your fucking head, all right? Telling me that's good music. You're fucking 20 years old. Knock it off. Like, when somebody says they like the Dave Matthews Band, I will pistol whip you. I will pistol whip you. I have satellite on the way up here. And I listen, they were doing Exodus.
Into me.
They were doing Exodus by fucking Bob Marley. I almost crashed the fucking car.
Could
Dave Matthews,
loved?
A white dude with no shoes on and a black new plane. It's too made up, Uncle Joey. Stop it.
I think he's got some good songs. Dave Matthews got a few good songs.
Oh, please, you get me emotional. Thank God I got the edible here. Fuck this shit. I was too quiet over here. I hate all that shit. Just listen. You don't like it, just move over. I can't stand fucking Tom Waits. And the people who like Tom Waits, look at them and go to their page. And they'll tell you the whole thing like that. That something ain't right. They're vegans. Something. They're, you know, stop the pilgrims. They care for something that you're like, really?
I always looked at Tom Waits as a guy who probably has a song that I would like, but I don't want to go find it.
Oh.
Like, it's probably like one or two of the songs.
But one song. Pick a fucking song.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Pick a song, and it sounds like he's taking a shit. It sounds like a dude. And you're like, what the fuck is this moron singing about? And I know people are going, oh, my God, he's a revolution. No. Paul McCartney's a bad motherfucker. Why? He's alive. Everybody else is dead. Paul McCartney won this war.
It's true.
He Lennon's Jimmy dead. Hendrix. George Harris is dead. Everybody's dead. Michael Jackson's dead. Dead. Paul McCartney's still doing plastic. Even his wife. He killed the fucking the Lipton chick. What? Didn't her parents own fucking Kodak? She's dead too. Remember, he moved her. He didn't know. He drove her to get a fucking sandwich. He died in the car. Remember, dog? Nobody fucking. Then he had the one with the missing leg.
Yes.
McCartney lives. McCartney won this fucking game. He outwon everybody. McCartney outlived everybody. The only one, him, Elton John, Bowie, Mick Jagger, which he don't even want to fuck with. All those other guys think Mick Jagger's a filthy motherfucker anyway.
Do they?
Oh, they hate that motherfucker.
Why do they hate Mick
Jagger? Because look at him. You want to just strangle Mick Jagger.
Why?
Mick Jagger's a different dude. You know, Mick Jagger comes across. Mick Jagger, what was his background?
I don't know.
Like, look at his background. His background's like he went to, like, the best business school. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, in England. Like, he's like a fucking wizard economist or something.
No shit.
Their story, yeah, he don't do nothing unless you show up with a big bank book. I know in Boulder, we talked about this in the podcast one time in Boulder. You know how in concerts, the seats behind you?
Uh-huh.
Sell them. But Mr. Jagger, nobody sells the tickets behind them. They won't buy. I'm Mick Jagger. Sell those tickets, or we don't go on stage.
Have you heard their new shit?
It's horrible.
It's not that bad. Their new song's not that
really,
bad.
Really, it's not that bad. I don't know. I just think that. Why
you just went right with it.
Why
it's horrible.
I don't know.
Let me see if I can find it. Let's help them. Let's promote the Rolling Stones. Like they give a fuck. How funny is that? Yeah, we'll help you out, Rolling Stones. I know you need this.
You never read the
little
bro,
podcast?
He's got a book. He's got a book that somebody wrote about him. And they interview somebody. Who's the chick that sings, you know, "You're So Vain"?
Carly Simon?
Carly Simon sat next to her.
She was awesome.
At some movie premiere or something. Mick Jagger sat next to her. He was like, "Dog, you got a joint? No. You got a Quaalude? No. You got a bump of coke? No. How about a blowjob?" Mick Jagger just killed bitches.
How do you know if he really said
because
that?
Because he's... Bro, because that, dog, this guy married his wife, and he married in a country where fucking it wasn't even legal to be married. This guy's one step ahead of the game. All he gives a fuck is getting his dick sucked. He's 60-something. You think Stallone's shooting shit? This guy, spit slaps alone with his dick. This guy's shooting everything. He's got kids. Every 6 months, he fucks a new model. How many kids Mick Jagger got?
I don't know.
How many kids he got? Look at those models.
Pull up the song. It's called "One More Shot," I think. Hold on a second.
That would automatically get us banned from YouTube.
You think so?
Yeah.
Nobody.
I feel like we should just do
it. Nobody slung more dick. Listen, Will Chamberlain said he fucked over 100 women or whatever, 1,000 women. But I believe nobody fucked more women than Sinatra and Mick Jagger. Like, that was...
Can we play one little excerpt of it?
Mm-mm.
Not even like a little? Really? Yeah. Damn YouTube. That's whack.
Yeah.
We need to work something out with YouTube. YouTube, hook us up.
So
please.
The New Stones is good?
Not bad, man.
I know they released like a song, but I don't know with them no more.
It's
the fucking Stones. The Stones are the biggest business merger ever. They release 6 old songs and 2 new ones, and they bang you out for another 1995.
Dude, when he came back, or when it was like, what is it, like 90-ish, 89, 90, they had like one big hit again. What was that one big hit they had?
Okay, so 81 was Shattered and all that shit.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was the other one.
They took some time off, and then they came back.
Neighbors, not that album. Then it kept going.
You guys like Bruce Springsteen?
No.
Thank God.
Dad, I'm from Jersey. I want to stab that motherfucker, too.
Yeah, I like some Bruce
I like the first album. I ain't gonna lie. I like 10th Avenue Freeze Out.
Yeah, oh,
I like, Darkness on the Edge of Town. But after that, Born in the USA with the T-shirt, him jumping up and down, cashing checks. Fuck you.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Fuck you, cocksucker. I don't like you no more.
Cashing checks,
yeah,
fuck
born,
you.
Born in the USA. What the fuck?
Well, that's
he puts on a 4-hour show. I don't give a fuck. After 2
it's
hours,
so
I got to get out
weird.
Of there. The coke was on fire.
It's
you know
so
what I'm
weird
saying?
How he's like the special people on the East Coast. That's their like Sinatra.
Oh, he's a,
you
he's
know?
A really emotional songwriter, man.
Oh, and
he's got some great fucking songs. Thunder Road, that
yeah,
is
no,
a
no,
great,
so early shit
great fucking
song.
But this is what happens. What happens is when a guy gets like super famous, it's really hard to keep up that struggle. And so you sort of become at least a partial parody of yourself.
Have you seen him lately with that fucked up haircut? This is a fucking Marine.
He's beautiful.
Oh, he gets on my last fucking
He's beautiful. The guy to me still, he came up with Born to Run, man.
Oh, I love all that shit, but enough already. Take a retirement. It's over. He comes out with his, you see, I play guitar, like he's doing something spectacular. He knows like 4 fucking chords. Knock it off. I'm sorry, New Jersey. Just fucking, he gets on my last fucking nerve. I'm a Sinatra type dude anyway, you motherfuckers. And Bon Jovi and shit I like too. I'm a Bon Jovi type of motherfucker.
Bon Jovi back
but
in
not
the day
anymore.
When that
87,
shit
Slippery When Wet.
Born to
Wanted
Run.
Dead or Alive.
You guys are talking
Stop
mad
it.
Shit, because Born to Run is 1,000 times better than any of those songs. So
No,
shut
Born
it
to Run is better than
suck
that
shit. 10th Avenue Freeze Out. Come
oh,
on.
Oh, tremendous,
you guys are
tremendous.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen. But I'll tell you what, Bruce Springsteen, when he had that, the divorce. Then he came out with some jamming music, man,
jam music,
because he like felt like really like brokenhearted over this, you know, him and this chick breaking up. So he came out with that Brilliant Disguise song. That's a great fucking song. That is a great fucking song. He came back with some strong shit after that chick crushed him.
Hey, little girl, what you do to you? Will you want us on that day? Like your mama, too. I'm on fire.
Stop giving me AIDS.
Can you imagine? No one would ever make that song today. Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? I got a bad desire. What? Who the fuck would make that song today? You couldn't do that song in the age of the internet. They would crucify you. They would go after you. The fake Rick Ross lost Reebok as a sponsor. Did you hear about that?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's so ridiculous.
The fake Rick Ross made a some lyric about
raping
chicks.
Yeah.
Dosing them with Molly, putting Molly in their drink, and she didn't even know it. You know, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And banging chicks while they're asleep.
Why did I ever have the desire to Molly a chick or give a chick a roofie? I'm a dirty animal.
Because you got game, son.
No, even in the
That's
young
true.
Days, I would
no.
ask a chick if she wanted to eat a roofie. I had like 3 girls. Dog, I had this little Jew brought in Boulder that she would eat roofies on Sundays with me, and we freak. She wouldn't let me fuck her, but she let me eat her ass in 69 and shit like that. It was
wow.
Bad.
But
and
she
we
wouldn't
both
let
black
you fuck
out.
Her.
Nah, she had like a boyfriend that was in the Navy or something.
Oh, like, that's hilarious. Know. And she kept hope alive.
Yeah, but we'd go to her house, we'd eat a roofie, we'd split a roofie. Cause she liked him too. We had to go to Lehigh Road right up the corner. There was like an industrial park up there. Some dude like did with sheet metal, and he sold roofies. She drove me up there. He gave me a couple roofies. We popped on the Lord's Day. We split a fucking roofie. Go have a couple margaritas.
You talk about bad karma, man. You're selling roofies. Just here, go ahead, do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
these,
but we
what
were
you
no,
will,
no, no, no. But I was
responsible.
No, 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 but I was yeah, responsible right. with the roofies. Like,
no,
like,
you no, no, no.
I couldn't.
I'm saying the guy was selling.
I couldn't imagine doing that to a chick. Listen, I'll work hard for it. I'll take you home with an 8-ball and then switch it up on you and give you aspirin until you suck my dick. You know what? I'll run you through the fucking walls like the Egyptians. I don't give a fuck. But I can't see that. I can never see root dose in a chick.
Well, that's real sweet of you, Joey.
I'm telling you, dog, I think rape is wrong. I'm just saying.
I just think it's wrong. I mean, you know, I can't believe you do it.
I can't even watch Law and Order SVU. I love Law and Order. The one when they fucking rape, I can't watch it. That's like 10 minutes, I can't watch this shit.
Yeah, that's because we all know that happens. After a while, when you know that a certain amount of violent crime takes place, then you're watching like bodies on TV. Like, I was watching it the other night. It was at the airport. And in the middle of the airport, they're playing this one of those shows, like Law and Order SVU or something like that. And I'm seeing like a body. You know, and I don't know if it was a commercial. I don't know what the fuck it was, but I was like, wow, that's pretty graphic. Yeah. Like, who wants to see that? Like, who wants to see that? Now that I'm thinking about it, was it an airport or was it in a store? I think it was in a store. Either way, the important thing is that, like, seeing those images on those shows, they're repeating over and over and over again. They have all these, like, graphic images of bodies and pulling things out of bodies, and it's, like, it's pretty intense. That you're taking that stuff into your psyche. You're taking that stuff into your bank of experiences.
I don't like sexual stuff on television early. Can you believe that?
You mean, like, girls making out? Or like
no, like, let's say I'm watching Diane Sawyer and they have, like, a condom commercial. I'll fucking lose my mind.
A condom commercial will bother you?
Oh, it's still... Because little tampon kids? Really destroys me. Tampon commercial, I want to choke myself. My wife is in the room, or like your aunt's in the room, or some older woman. Since I was a kid, they did a Kotex commercial, I would sit there and look fucking straight ahead, dog. I never get so embarrassed in my life. I don't want them to ask me if I know, and I don't want to fucking know if blood comes out of your snatch and what you... And what you put up there, that's got nothing to do with me. I'm just going to look straight ahead. Don't even bring it up. You know how there's some women that's cute?
Yeah.
Like, they think it's cute. Like, hold on, I gotta go get a tampon. Listen, I don't wanna know. I don't wanna know if you're bleeding. You just ruined everything for me. And, you know, I don't wanna know.
Does that really bother him?
That bothers me.
He hates the sight of blood.
No. I hate the sight of talking about that your fucking pussy's bleeding around me. That's what I fucking hate. Well, even when they have it in their purse, I get sick to my fucking stomach.
Oh, that's so
funny. I don't want to see a fucking tampon around me. I don't want to fucking see a tampon at all. All right? When I'm watching TV and a tampon commercial comes on, even when I'm by myself, I feel creepy.
That's so weird.
And condom commercials, that new commercial with the chick's head popping out, or the fucking thing with you put on your finger. Have you seen that fucking commercial? The chick with the creepy finger?
Yeah.
She tried, you know, this is great to relieve stress. You know what, man? I don't want to know about that shit. Play it after. What the fuck is that? Oh, my God.
That's a zombie.
Oh, my God.
What is that? Is that a zombie?
Bloody pussy.
So put that away.
Oh, my God.
That's broken. Terrible. That one's broken.
That is just, that offends me.
Don't even get that one fixed.
Till this day, anything vaginal sprays, anything vaginal on television before like 10 o'clock. Dries me up a fucking wall.
I've never had a period problem. It doesn't bother me.
Never had a period?
Never had my own period. Well, I have my own period every now and then. But I've never had like a period problem, like a problem with a girl's period. No, it doesn't bother me at all.
I told you the one I had to this day. And it was fucked up because my mother had just died. And it was the first time a chick called me. Like, that was my first booty call ever. I had dated this girl before. She was a cheerleader at Franklin School. I played hoops at McKinley, and we had messed around a little bit. Not really sex. I don't remember, Joe. I think I sucked her titties. I knew her brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were, like, in grammar school, high school, and I had sucked her titties or something after, like, a dance or something. And after my mother died, like, I was home for a week, and this lady was taking care of me, and I get this call one night. And it's this chick, and she goes, you know, you want to get together? And I was feeling bad, you know. I didn't know she was going to throw me a little lottery pussy, like my little funeral pussy. I never got funeral pussy, but it exists, you know.
Funeral pussy?
Yeah, like after somebody dies in your family, some chick calls you and sucks your dick.
Really?
Yeah. Because
like, they feel bad?
Like they're like a, maybe they're like a, like one of those women that hang out at comedy clubs and they die comic.
Groupies?
Groupies, yeah. Like they like Shuttle to have fuckers. Sex with people after somebody dies. I'm serious. But I knew her. She probably just called me out of the kindness of my heart to make me feel well. So I walked from 38th Street to 46th, grabbed this bitch, and walked back to my house on 38th Street. I'm all fucking horned up. We start swatting. Spit. I take her pants off. I pop her panties off, and the Kotex pops out of her pussy like a tongue in one of those fucking haunted houses, right? Like, you know the thing that's like this? Blah! They pop up like, blah! Like that, right? And I just sat there frozen, like I had never seen that before. I had never smelled that before. I had never been around anything like that. My mother had just died. That was traumatic enough. This would just set me over the fucking cliff. How that woman's still alive today, to this day, I don't even look on Facebook to see she'll, because I might kill her. Because she fucked me up, Joe Rogan. Fucked me up. I told her to put her pants on. I remember walking home the whole time. I wanted to, I didn't know how to control myself. I didn't control Till this day, I think about that motherfucker.
That's hilarious.
Because she thought, I don't know, that's the first time I ever seen a woman with a period and the last. I made it a fucking point.
That's so funny.
If I'm, I don't care how horny I am. If I'm at a bar, I got a bag of Coke, and somewhere along the line, that chick says she got her period. That's where the conversation ends. It ends. There's no more talking. Funny. They used to have this freak. They used to be this chick I used to mess around with in Hollywood, and I knew her cycle. She would have a period from the 20th to the 25th. I wouldn't answer her calls those 5 nights, dog. Like 6 or 7 nights just to make sure everything cleared.
Wow.
And she never figured it out till
this
day.
That's hilarious.
She's never figured out that. I wouldn't bring Coke over there.
Of the-
I can't. I'm going to waste Coke on
It's so silly.
On a bloody pussy. Fuck it. I'll snort it by myself and jerk
but
off.
But doesn't it still feel good? Is it just the way it looks? You don't like the way it looks?
No, no,
it's
no.
It's warmer. I like it.
Yeah, no. There's blood. Is that bad enough for you? There's fucking blood. Is that bad enough for you right there that you're fucking blood? No matter what you're doing, you're fucking blood. I know you like it. I know red men.
Pull out the tampon, a little gravy comes out.
Oh, my God.
No, you son of a bitch. That's the problem is you don't want to look at the blood that's on the tampon because that's blood that was, you know, came out a month ago. It's, or whatever it is. Not
remember,
a month.
Remember Grill 93?
An hour
93?
Ago. Whatever it is. It's all dried up and coagulated.
Remember Grill 93?
Yes.
Remember in Boston?
That was
about.
I never did that gig.
Okay, I did that gig.
That happened after I left.
Right, so it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday open mic. So you did the weekend. Thursday was an open mic, and I would headline.
And then you did the weekend, and then you...
And then you stayed the week, and you, during the week I would do Monday at Faneuil Hall, Tuesday some room in fucking Quincy.
Right.
Thursday, Worcester, and then I'd go back to the Aku Aku or whatever. But the point of the story is one Sunday at that place... I had met her before, an open mic girl that was in the Navy. The hotel, the Club 56 was right next door. And she's like, I'm kind of tipsy. And I kind of liked her. She had a crush on me. We started swapping and spitting. We went next door. That was the first time I was involved in one of those dark light swap and spit things. Kiss somebody in the dark. We were all over the place on the bed. And I remember my pants came off. Her shit came off. And I'm giving this chick a stabbing. But this chick's pussy was fucking wet as fuck. And I'm banging this like a soldier. And these days I had stamina. This is like 98. I was a savage before I got before the belt. And dog, I turned the light on and there was blood everywhere.
Yeah, see, it felt good, right?
No, it didn't feel fucking good at all. I knew something wasn't right. I could smell funky. That? Oh. It smelled fucked up in the room.
Salty?
Something. It smelled something in the fucking
That's
room.
Probably you, motherfucker.
No, dog, I'm on fire. No. You know,
you smell good?
No, I'm a water dude. You know I like water, dog. I take my nuts. When I go home now, I take a fucking shower. Before I go do comedy, I take a shower. I take a shower before I go to the gym. That's how fucking clean I am.
Dog. I've always felt bad when chicks feel bad about it.
No, I would never call somebody a bloody
fuck.
It
doesn't bother
I don't even get involved. It bothers the fuck out of me.
It's just red. Whatever.
No.
It's not. No one's getting hurt. She's fine.
No.
But a lot of times they're extra horny, too.
Yeah.
A lot of times girls on their period are like, horny.
You like it, Joe Rogan? You don't mind it.
Doesn't bother me.
You don't mind
I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
What
I'm
about
not scared
the sheets
of blood.
And shit?
I don't care.
I think it's wetter. I think it feels better.
And you change the sheets right after it?
Who cares?
Oh, no, you put down a towel.
There's shit to worry about in this life. I don't think that's one of them.
You have a period towel.
Well, you make chicks feel bad, man.
No, I'm not trying to make nobody feel bad.
It does.
Hey, somebody,
right?
Some people don't like snakes. I like snakes. I like some people.
How are you equating snakes to a girl's period?
Because I'm saying that's
the fucking same thing. The heartless monsters that'll fucking consume your soul. It's right there, cocksucker. What I got to spell it out for you?
Listen, Joe
snake,
Rogan,
pussy snake, Adam and Eve.
That not everybody likes the same things in life. You know, people know if you can't handle that in your life, people don't like certain
things. No doubt.
I just don't like that. Some chicks don't like fat guys. Some, you know, whatever. There's some chicks that, you know, some people don't like. I just never liked it.
Well, remember the time you realized, it was probably like in your early 20s or whatever, that some girls not only like would like, they want you to come in their mouth, and other girls get mad if you come in their mouth. Like, like this is there's a different thing. There's a very different response here.
Yeah.
You know, like some girls will say, "Don't come in my mouth," and you're like, "Oh, okay." And then other girls will be like, "Come in my mouth." Like, whoa, for real? Like, does she really want that? Is she trying to trick me? Like, what is going on?
I like
here?
The girl that after you fuck her, she always wants to take a little taste of it, like almost like every single time.
That's a dirty bitch that wants to eat her own pussy, but she's not too lazy to work out and stretch. She's too lazy to become one of those contortionists. That's what that is. She just likes the taste of her
The
own
worst
pussy.
Is when you're eating out a girl and she is on her period and you don't realize it until the next day and you see like the dried blood all over your face and you go to the store and there's like a clot in your tooth.
I think that's an alcohol and drug problem, really. It's how the fuck are you not knowing what's going on? You're eating this girl's pussy and it tastes like a bag of pennies. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
That's disgusting. That is really, really, really to the all-time high of disgust. I have heard some disgusting fucking things, Brian. I don't mind licking like a girl's ass. I like all that. It's just the blood that bothers me.
You ever eat a girl's ass?
You'll take shit over blood. Ah, a little shit ain't gonna hurt you, Joe Rogan. Blood from fucking vampires.
Yeah. How many fucking, by the way, the original vampire, think about that. If you really think about Blade, set this motherfucking old vampire.
He's out, yeah, he's out.
Hopefully they'll make Blade 9.
Yeah, and for anybody who thinks I have a problem with that guy, I never had a problem with that guy. There was supposedly like an MMA fight they were trying. It sounds like bullshit now that I talk about
it. Wesley Pipes?
Yeah, with Wesley Snipes. It was not my idea, and I didn't have any animosity towards that guy at all.
How much time did he do?
I did 3 years.
Three fucking years.
Yeah, 3 fucking years, man.
And he's going to go right to fucking
And not only that, he was willing to pay. They were like, doesn't matter. You going to jail. Like, he admitted that he made a mistake, tried to pay them off, and like, no, you have to do time. You have to do time. And they put him in jail for 3 years. You can't just, the government, whether you, especially if you're in a position of prominence, like a giant movie star like that, if you run around saying that you're not going to pay taxes, that can fuck up everything. And they have to make an example of you. It's almost like they have to, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that will argue about the constitutional legality of this and that. And the reality is, everybody's paying. You gotta pay. You know, no one wrote it down in 1776, okay? But it's 2013. The reality of this situation is that everybody's paying. And these people that go, you know, we have found a clause here deep within the Constitution that clearly states that what is going on is unconstitutional, unlawful, and they would never have this brought up in a court of law. Because if this was exposed, it would take down the very empire itself. And people go, fuck, I ain't paying taxes. Let them come get me. I'll start talking shit. I'll start telling them about how the tax code is illegal and not even in the Constitution. You know, and they're like, tell them, Wesley. And next thing you know, I don't know if it went down that way. I'm just guessing. I'm making shit up. I don't mean to be mean to the guy. But then next thing you know, he bought into some guy's idea and didn't pay taxes, like willfully. And so that was for like a couple of years. And when they were going after him and like they were trying to, you know, he won, but he lost the second most important one. But I think he was acquitted in the most important one, which was like a conspiracy or something along those lines. But he still willfully avoided paying taxes. And so they put him away for 3 solid years. You know, when you're 47 years old like he was, that's a long chunk of the future of your life. You know, how much more time do you have? Do you have, who's the oldest person ever? He's like 120. You know, so what, you got 80 years left? Less than 80 years? And someone just stole three. They stole three and wanted to put you in a cage because you wouldn't pay them. I mean, that is like some of the most gangster shit like any society can ever pull on its citizens. If you don't give us a piece of what you earn, then we're going to put you in a cage. It's not like a debt. It's not like there's some money on the ledger that has to be corrected and you have to eventually recompensate us until we're even. No. No, we're going to lock you in a cage. That's our solution.
And when you get out,
yeah,
you're still going to have to pay us.
Well, that's a fairly victimless crime, if you really think about it. In the greater spectrum of all the things that goes wrong in this country, that's a fairly victimless crime. I mean, absolutely, it's a crime. Absolutely, people should have to contribute to the fixing of the highways and paying police officers and all that jazz. But the idea that someone should be just locked in a cage for that is kind of crazy. I mean, there's people that don't get locked in a cage for assault. There's people that don't get locked in a cage for much more horrible physical things where there's actual real trauma to an individual. There's an actual victim. And they don't get locked in a cage for 3 years.
Well, you said the reasons why. Because they wanted to make an example out of him as a person in his position. You know, you can't go to the government and go, I ain't paying dick. Really?
You can't.
We will send tanks down there. Fuck you, Dave Koresh. If you haven't learned, when they want their shit, they get their fucking shit. It don't matter, the government or your fucking constitution. Throw that shit out the fucking window. And I pity you for even believing that. If you fuck up bad enough, they're coming to get you, my friend.
Yeah, it's at this point, like, retracting that is going to be met with furious resistance. And the idea that it's not is really silly. It's almost like at a point in this country where things are so weird that it's almost like one of two things has to happen. Either there's some sort of technological breakthrough that makes it impossible to lie anymore, and then from now on, everybody has to operate like on 100%, no bullshit. It's either that, when we get adapted to that, or some fucking Walking Dead zombie type situation where we have to reinvent civilization. Because if we just keep going the way we're going right now, there's so many opportunities for us to trip over our own dicks. Just this North Korea thing alone. See what's going on with this crazy motherfucker just pointing rockets at everybody and saber rattling and saying, I mean, what do they need? Do they need food? What do they need? Do they need power, electricity? They need something, obviously. There's like the guy's doing something to get some sort of attention and get some people to calm him down. How long can that guy be around for? How long can you have India and Pakistan hate each other, pointing nuclear arms at each other right there, just like staring at each other? You know, how much longer can people do what they're doing? It's kind of weird. It's like one of two things has to happen. Either they got to figure out some new invention that lets people all realize that we all have, like, there's repercussions to everyone's actions, positive and negative. And everybody has a stake in everything that happens all over the world, whether it's in the Congo or the people that are getting run out of the Brazilian rainforest because loggers have moved in. Those guys are douchebags. Like, let's be clear about that. Like, some people were living in some tents. Some guys want to steal their trees. Like, everybody needs to settle the fuck down. We need to look at this globally. And the fact that, like, cunty shit can happen in the Amazon and the Congo and all these different spots, while that happens and we know about it, we'll never be at balance. And it seems to me it's like something has to happen that connects everybody, whether it's a stage of evolution, whether it's a slow progress of things that we're going through right now, that where people are getting upset at things right now that they never got upset at before, you know, where people are sort of realizing that we're much more connected than people have ever been before. And if that doesn't like continue on that trend, when you got things like North Korea, when you got things like what's going on in the Congo, and you got really bad spots in Afghanistan, really bad spots in Iraq, and the world is there's parts of the world right now that are in the apocalypse. They're right there. The apocalypse exists, and it's going on right now. And while we're all just sitting here living our lives, that's taking place, and we know it. And because we know it, we always feel out of whack. We always feel like, If the whole world got its shit together, if like human beings figured out a way where no one was fucking over anybody anywhere in the world, no one was murdering anybody anywhere in the world, no one was raping anybody anywhere in the world, that could be possible. If it's possible to do in this room, it's possible to do in a whole country.
Too late. I already raped a jam band.
Does that make sense, or am I too stoned?
You're too stoned. You know, I know that we've had discussions about your fears, and you always said that one of your biggest fears was staying healthy when you got older. You didn't like want to really, really get old, you know. And
well, I don't want my body to fail.
You feel old.
You know, walking around with a failing body.
I'm going to tell you something that petrifies me more than anything. You know, nothing scares me. I never wanted to go to jail after 45.
True, yeah.
I know that all these gangsters are glorious and they fucking glorify my biography. You know what? They die in a fucking hole.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no glory in dying in no fucking hole. When you're 55 and above, I tell you what, and I knew this when I was 20, after 55, there's only one thing you should be worried about, that's your grandchildren and your pension. Your house should be paid for. And that's
it's amazing that those creeps made it that long. You know, when you see guys like John Gotti in jail, you know, Sammy the Bull, they let him out. That goes to show you how nutty
our government is. No, he's still in jail.
Yeah, but I mean, they let him out.
They let him out. Yeah, yeah.
When he was involved, and they knew he was involved in at least like how many murders?
20, but
some insane amount of murders, and they let him go because he gave them information on Gotti.
But the beauty is that 20, 30 years from now, somebody's going to find the file on Sammy the Bull Gravano, and it's going to be one of the biggest smacks to the American people that you've ever known. Nobody really knew what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew that the government wanted Gotti so bad. They wanted him. I don't give a fuck. Listen, I don't give a fuck. I want this guy. That we'll do whatever. What did he kill? 80 people? Fuck them. They were Italian. They got what they deserve. Fuck them and their mother. That's the thinking.
Right.
You know, and what people don't know is that Sammy was brilliant in the sense that he was the first one to rat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was the first one to rat. What he did to the government was brilliant. The government knew. I told you that there's stories that the government was collecting his loan shark payments when he went away. He went into the system, got out. And then it's when it really blew up in their face, because all these people started going in, testifying, saying, I would never lie. I sold drugs to Sammy the Bull Gavano. The government would go, no, you didn't. Sammy never sold a drug in his life. But after 50 people came in and said, yes, they did, the government finally said, they ain't fucking lying. And then that fucking idiot went on to HBO.
The Iceman.
Went on HBO and on his third last interview, he said he killed the cop. And then Sammy the Bull Gavano gave him the order. They went into the files. They said they seen that Sammy never copped to that cop. And all of a sudden they had him involved in an ecstasy ring and they pulled him into jail. And the Ice Band mysteriously died to tell his story, to prosecute Sammy. They took the bull and they put him in Colorado in Tomahawk under the fucking prison. Under the prison. So the government, this is a kinky
fucking deal. So he never sees the light.
Never sees light again. But the government didn't give a fuck when they cut the deal. And that's not just with him. They do this all the time.
But it's a different government. That's the thing. It's like the people that are in charge today are not the people that put Sammy the Bull out on the street back during the Gotti time. Most likely.
5 fucking years he got for killing 20 people. And crazy. He got to take his money.
Yeah.
He got to take $10 million. And he got to, they didn't care.
And then they put him in, he was in Phoenix, right?
Didn't he was in Phoenix.
Didn't he like try to go under a fake name or something like that?
He told him to go fuck himself. He told him to come and get him. That's how crazy that little mother, 5'5", Jesus. Training with Teddy Atlas 5 days a week, shooting B-ball, D-fall. Fuck, did you see him before? When
he was
got,
huge.
Did you see him when he got nailed?
He looked scary.
He was 5'5", 2-something.
He was a human bulldog.
He was, you know, and he was fighting every morning over there with Teddy Atlas. That's the truth. Teddy Atlas was his trainer.
Wow. Yeah, that was a scary time when you had like real, legit mafia criminals but like flaunting it in New York.
What about what's going on? I hear shit about how they just, you know, and I shouldn't say this, how they arrest Arabs in New York and try to flip the things on them and try to get like those terrorist cases. What are they doing?
I don't know.
We had a discussion about how they take the people to go and push. They take Arabs and they go and push them in on those terror groups.
Well, they did that in Dallas.
Right, I read something.
They gave
like
the guy, I think it was Dallas, they gave a guy a fake bomb and they had him try to detonate it. When he tried to detonate it, they arrested him for trying to detonate a bomb. Like you gave him the bomb. Like, you know, and how, I mean, that's so crazy. The idea that they would be able to make a fake bomb, get it to you.
Sir Rogan, let's do the
they
conversation.
They talked this guy into doing it.
Let's do the conversation. Okay sir.
My friend, I have a bomb for you.
No, I'm going to give it to you. You're the bomb guy.
Well, I think he thought he was dealing with a terrorist organization. Oh, okay. He didn't know he was dealing with the FBI.
Okay.
He had some FBI guy who says, this is my friend, America is devil. We're going to take it down. You are in. You are an important part of our program. This guy's an idiot. He's like, I'm an important part, finally. Something, anything. What do I do? Is that an offensive voice? Offensive, stereotypical Arab-type dude voice?
What do I do?
I don't know. So what do you think, how do you think it went down? What do you think he said to him?
That's a good angle. What do you think he said? You take this and you put it in. When you come back, we give you badge.
And he'd probably be like, and
FBI,
then,
benching and everything. And the guy's like,
and you and pension, I?
Insurance, $55,000 a year to start, and pension, and car, gasoline. I'll be back.
That's so he planned ahead? He was that type of person?
Oh, the government's always 2 steps ahead of you, dog.
I think the guy was probably like, if I do this, you'll be my friend? What are you playing?
Oh, terrorist music.
That's terrorist music? If it's, you know what terrorist music is? That John Ashcroft song that we played
that's
earlier.
That's terrorism. That's fucking terrorist music. You know what's terrorism, bro? Subway sandwich.
How is that terrorism?
I was thinking about, I was in Nashville. You know, across the street from Nashville is that Subway sandwich right there.
Right.
How fucking cool is Nashville Zanies?
Nashville.
Am I fucking around?
No,
is it me?
No,
or,
no, it's amazing.
It's and it's nice people, cool.
Nashville's a badass town.
Nashville is as a fucking cool town.
Yeah.
But I was looking at that Subway and I'm like, those motherfuckers sell turkey fucking salami. Turkey fucking salami.
Right.
You know, they do such bad shit, they don't even give you a full foot.
Yeah, did you hear see that?
Kill, and I knew that from the beginning. I know what fucking a foot looks like. I knew it was fucking kinky. When you get 6 inches, that's when you know it's not a fucking 6 inch. Because I worked at a lumber yard for fucking years. You know what fucking 6 inches is.
Right, so the 6 incher is more like what?
It's like an inch short. The whole the foot long is like an inch short.
Everybody I fucking talked to said at one time or another they got mad. They got food poisoned from the tuna.
The tuna's bad?
And I got it one time. And I liked the tuna for years, but
I can't
I got
say
it
that,
time.
Though. You can't say that on podcast. We're going to get in trouble.
No, I'm just telling you it happened to me.
Allegedly.
Between
allegedly.
Me saying that someone should sell the post office to a private contractor to run it like UPS and...
Dog, what the fuck? And this guy ratting out the Comedy Store?
Yeah, we've done a... This is what happens when we take a few days off. We say crazy shit.
They got the health department on their way right now, knocking on Paulie Shore's door.
Yeah, you got a problem.
He's in there with a fucking...
I want you to explain this podcast. 16-year-old
chick at a bus station and shit.
Yeah. No, they arrest him as a girl enters into that bathroom. And the security is hovering over the window, looking in.
You're such a fucking crush.
Yeah, man, you just fucked everybody who has a part of that place, Brian. You really did. You're a terrible person.
I knew motherfuckers for years were looking at something. I didn't know they were in there looking at pussy. I can't even dream of that shit. How can you be such a disgusto? You're looking at a fucking thing.
Disgusto?
Yeah, even me. You know, I judge everybody by my actions. You know what I'm saying?
Such a fucking,
I'm a fucking piece of shit thief. And these disgustos. Look at the fucking poor lady's pussy. Do a fucking thing. And to even look in, I mean, I don't understand. I really don't. Fucking unbelievable.
Well, that's the thing about any open institution, whether it's a Comedy Store or a park where kids hang out, and you're going to get, you know, you're going to get all kinds of people. You're going to get real friendly people, and you're going to get people that suck. You know, and at the Comedy Store, you're going to have both of that, too. You know, we've always had those a few comedians that would come around, and you're like, Jesus Christ, you got to back up and move away. And there's like, they have bad mojo, and they're all upset that, you know, why am I on at this time? And Joey Diaz is on at this time. This is bullshit. And they stomp around. You always get that, right?
Always.
Always.
People put cameras in bathrooms and other places. I see it all the time. Like,
Chuck Berry. Didn't Chuck Berry get in trouble for doing that?
Or in the steakhouses or something?
Chuck Berry, I believe, got in trouble for doing that. I should probably look that up.
Putting a fucking tape in the bathroom and then go. And what do? You go back at the end of the day and empty the camera and look at the people pissing?
Why are you asking me? I don't know.
Because you're into all that shit, you filthy cocksucker.
I can't say that. I don't want to
say
that.
He's not into that. How dare you?
Well, if you take a pee at Brian's house, he's watching.
No, I'm not.
Yes, he is. That motherfucker's watching on his iPhone, trust me. But that night I gave him the banana bread. I caught him with his phone off. He was taping somebody at the ice house, this motherfucker. He got like 8 cameras all around the city.
Oh, this is so not true.
But I admit that I was talking to a comic that we are all friends with, he's like, I want to send you something, because I was talking about the Rub Maps website, and he goes, I have something to send you. And he gives it, and I take it, and it's like 2 things of keys, like keychains. And they're like the little things for your car for the alarm. And I'm like, why is he sending me these car things? And I open it up, and it's a camera. And what you do is you put it on your keychain. And so then, like, when you're somewhere like a massage parlor or something like that, you hit record and just put down your keys, and it records HD video.
Whoa.
And he just sent it to me. He's like, oh, trust me, I have the greatest thing for you. And he sends me 2 of them.
Okay, I got a totally wrong story of Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry did a lot of wacky shit, but that's not one of them. One of the things he did in 1959, he was arrested under the Mann Act that he had sex with a 14-year-old waitress, from which he transported over state lines to work as a hat check girl at his club.
14-year-old waitress? Where do they even have 14-year-old waitress? Like a tea party?
He was convicted, fined $5,000, and sentenced to 5 years in prison. His appeal that the judge's comments and the attitude were racist and prejudiced by the jury against him was upheld, and a second trial was held in May and June of 1961, which resulted in Berry being given a 3-year prison sentence. After another appeal failed, Berry served 1.5 years in prison from February of 1962 to October of 1963. He pleaded guilty to tax evasion, was sentenced to 4 months in prison and 1,000 hours of community service, doing benefit concerts in 1979. And in 1990, Berry pleaded guilty to misdemeanor possession of marijuana. Holla! The last one they got him for weed. They should have looked at his ledger and gone, this guy's done enough time. Jesus.
So he transferred. He said, listen,
Jesus
baby.
Jesus Christ.
Listen, baby, not only are you going to suck my dick, but I got a job for you. As a motherfucking hat check girl.
14. 14-year-old hat check girl. Holy shit. Wow. Chuck Berry was a bad motherfucker. You know, that was a totally different time in the world, too.
What about
imagine
the
racism that guy felt.
What about the guy that played the piano? He fucked his cousin or something? Red Band. What's that guy? Come on, guys.
Who are you talking about?
He did all
that. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, who he fucked. Yes. He's a pervert, too.
Yeah, right? He fucked his cousin, and he might have did the allegations were that at one point in time that he killed his wife. Wasn't it? Didn't he get in trouble? That's what they called him, the killer. That was actually his nickname. What's so funny?
He's so fucked up on the edibles. You can tell. Look at his eyes. You can't even see his eyes. I'm
fucking high right now. But
I didn't smoke pot for over a week.
You didn't?
I didn't smoke pot for over a week before the show. Now we're off the deep end.
Let me tell you something. So this guy fucked this cousin and killed this.
Yeah, someone drowned. Like, one of his wives drowned. Yeah. Well, you know, she could have just drowned, man. You know? Might not have been.
Yeah, what are you doing? He was so slandering? Crazy, though. You guys slandering?
No, no. He was so crazy. Jerry Lee Lewis was so fucking crazy that him and Chuck Berry were doing a gig together. And Chuck Berry played piano, too, right?
I think so. Yeah, something. Right.
Was it Chuck Berry that he lit his piano on fire?
Is that Liberace? No. That's...
Liberace.
Didn't... Jerry Lewis. Yeah. It was Jerry Lewis.
Great Balls of Fire.
Right, but Jerry Lewis lit Chuck Berry's piano on fire.
I don't remember that.
I think he did. I think he did, and I think he said, like, follow that motherfucker, like he lit the piano on fire. I'm pretty sure. I need to pull that up, because maybe I'm just combining scenes in movies.
It might be just
Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry. No, it's not romantic. He was crazy, man.
Which one, Jerry Lee Lewis?
Jerry Lee Lewis was crazy. He was crazy. Yeah, that guy was nuts. Yeah, he had a fight. He got in a fist fight with Chuck Berry.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry feud. Yeah, think about these type of people. I mean, these are wild motherfuckers. Wild. Just think of Chuck Berry. Think of getting in a fight with a guy like Chuck Berry. He's doing time, does a year and a half in the pokey for, you know, transporting a girl across state lines.
Apparently he said
tax evasion.
Apparently he caught the piano on fire, then walked off stage telling Berry, follow that N-word in order to intimidate
imagine if
him.
He actually did say N-word. Follow that N-word. This is a sad time. Sad time.
Yeah,
N-word.
But it's just that whole lifestyle going into prison and coming out. Oh, yeah. Fuck you, Joe Rogan. Wow. I love Chinese food too much. I like walking around too much. Fuck you, brother.
Especially in the 60s.
Especially in the 60s, especially now. Like going,
yeah,
doing time. I don't give. They all, listen, anytime that you glorify on television, that's bullshit. You're still not seeing your family. To be 65 and live your whole life and think that you were a gangster and to get put in jail when you're 50.
Yeah.
And have to be 67 in fucking prison. Let's say nobody going to rape you or beat you up. Just a thought.
Just being your freedom removed.
And you see these idiots on Discovery Channel, like when they do those prison shows, and when I'm on the road, I'll stay up late writing, but I'll put that channel on, and I watch the interviews of these guys, like, yeah, you know, I did it. What the fuck did you do? You fucking pissed away a life.
Yeah.
You pissed away a fucking life. You do 2-3 years when you're 18. That ain't shit, Joe Rogan. Anybody can do it standing in their fucking head.
Did you hear about that guy that they just arrested that was living in the woods of Maine by himself? He hadn't talked to another person in 30 years, and he had been surviving all this time by stealing things from campgrounds. Didn't talk to people for 30 fucking years until the police finally arrested him. So he was basically like a fucking kid. And just disappeared. Yeah, 27 years he lived in the woods. For 27 years, he didn't speak to another person. He just lived in the woods, snuck into campgrounds, stole shit, and went back to his camp. And so they arrest this guy. He's got this spot, and they have all these pictures of it. If you go to the Kennebec Journal, kjonline.com, Kennebec, K-E-N-N-B-E-C, N-N-E-B-E-C, K-E-N-N-E-B-E-C. It's a part of Maine. Where this guy was, Kennebunkport, right? Where that's where Bush had his compound out there, his family, the older Bush. But this guy, man, was just living like a character in a movie, by himself, not talking to any human beings, and then in the middle of the night stealing people's shit. Pretty nuts, man.
Charles Bronson, Death Hunt.
Yeah.
He lived in the fucking hut at night with the dog.
This is really amazing, man.
That's fucking crazy.
And especially in Maine. Maine is unfucking bearably cold in the winter. It's really, really cold. New York is cold. Boston's colder. Maine is a motherfucker. There's that feeling when you get out of your car, you just get, it's a totally different kind of cold.
Do they show what the inside of his hut looked like?
Yeah. They got a video. There's a video up there of this guy's place. He's got all things hanging, you know, everything's hanging from a wall. He even has a clock that he's got taped up to a tree. Stole someone's clock. Like, stole all this shit and just, like, pack ratted it into this weird sort of tent that he has set up in the middle of Maine. It's fucking all kinds of people, man.
Did he have heat in there?
No, he lit fires and shit. We, you know, we're starting to see because of the we can get a story like this online so easily and read into it. He never had anything like this 20 years. He never got these stories.
No, they
didn't show it on 2020 or on one of those. You never really got like this sort of an in-depth look at wackiness. And we're getting it every day. Every day there's like some new dude who gets caught doing something really fucking weird. And then you look at him and you go, who is this crazy fuck? What's going on here? And then you forget about him because tomorrow it's a dude who's got a pet hippo that he rides around until it eats him. And then you go, what, a fucking hippo ate him? And then the next day, it's some other story. It's just, it never ends. The guy walks into Home Depot yesterday and tried to cut his arm off. You hear that?
No.
Guy walked into Home Depot, picks up a saw, and starts hacking his fucking arm off. Got down to the bone, screaming, fucking howling, cutting his arm. They got down to the bone until they stopped him. Wow. What the fuck? Really, Joe Diaz? Stop and think about that for a moment. A guy walks into Home Depot and saws his own fucking arm off.
Can you imagine being in there watching this shit live? You go in there just to get a gallon of fucking paint, and you gotta put up with this fucking guy now doing this. It's just you might be there in the wrong place at the wrong time when that guy does that,
or does something even nuttier that harms other people. You know, I would like to find out what that guy was on. You know. I would love to know what
half
kind
of these guys' life.
Cocktail.
I guarantee life. That's it. Yeah. They lost the mortgage. They lost the house. The wife left.
Yep.
The kid is on drugs. The other kid's a fucking moron. God knows.
There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of life going on. That's it, man. It's tough for people. Right now, you know, you really think about what's going on. They got missiles pointed at us, whatever the fuck. Listen, if he launches them, I'm sure the United States will do what they can and we'll be fine. It's just a thought that it's right there. It's imminent. Mm-hmm. It's right fucking there. We're about to be part of this. Everything will change.
Well,
everything.
You know, what people don't realize who haven't been over there, like you and I, we don't realize what the actual conditions are in that country. And when you read about it, it almost seems like fiction. You know, when you read about the slave camps and the people were born in the slave camps and, you know, some of them escape and they tell these stories of, like, how weakened they let people get. And then they like, literally, like, people are eating rats and shit trying to stay alive.
This is Korea, North Korea.
Yeah. And slave camps, it's horrible, horrible shit.
Why is there slave camps?
I don't know, man. Vice.com exposed that they have slave camps in Siberia. The North Koreans have a slave camp in Siberia, and the people in Siberia, they don't even know that they're not in North Korea. They think they're in North Korea, but really they're in a slave camp in Siberia. It's really fucking crazy. And what I can't wrap my head around, I don't think, and I don't think either can you, is that these people are living like Stalinist Russia. They're living like a real communist, dictatorial sort of, you know, utopic view of the world. You know, their idea of life is they have Dear Leader. You know, when people didn't cry for Dear Leader, you know, when the guy died, people who didn't cry got sentenced to 6 months in jail. They sentenced some people to jail because they didn't cry. So people like, if you ever see the video of people crying, it is the most ridiculous, overproduced, overacted nuttiness that you've ever seen in your life. It's people just terrified. It's really sad to watch because these people are terrified. And they're wandering around crying, just wailing. It's so fake looking. It looks so fake. But it's like they have to put on a show. The government is so, they're so controlled. It's such a horrible dictatorship that if you're not crying for the guy dying, they just throw you in a fucking cage.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. The balance of power. For whatever reason, people always want to get to that sort of total dictatorial position. Like even the guy who there was the overthrowing of the government in Egypt, the new people that came in were like, yeah, listen, we don't think the law should apply to us, and we're going to do it. And everybody was like, what? Like there was like riots in the street. They're like, well, this is what we just got rid of. Like you're trying to do exactly what the government before you. Like we see where you're going with this, you crazy fucks. It's almost like
what is a slave camp? What is the purpose of a slave camp?
They're making them, they're working, they're making things, whatever it is. I mean, North Korea has almost no money. They're unbelievably broke. If you fly over North Korea at night, their lights are out. They shut their lights off at night. Whereas you go over South Korea, it looks like any other part of the world where you see people's lights on. North Korea doesn't even have enough money to keep the lights on. I mean, it's a terrible, you can't run a country like that. They're not going to profit. They're not going to prosper. Like, the only way to have a really strong economy is you have a lot of people that are trying to make things happen. Not just, like, the people that are in charge, and then they're slaves. You can't run it like that. You know, you can't run it where the entire civilization is under your heel, because a strong man is going to prosper. A strong woman is going to prosper. And anybody that knows they're under the heel of the government like that, they're never going to prosper. So the economy is never going to be vital. It's never going to be like, no one's going to be out there trying to make shit happen and kick ass and take names and, you know, and keep the economy energized. They're fucking terrified. They're terrified of these jackbooted thugs coming into their house and locking them in a cage because they weren't fake crying enough, you know. And it's 2013. That's the nuttiest part about it. So this is happening right now. Just like while you and I are taking fucking Southwest to San Jose and having a good time and fucking driving to Vegas and waving at people at the gas station. These fucking people on another part of the world right now are living a horror movie.
It's fucking amazing.
Could you imagine, man, you living in a horror movie? I mean, you literally are living in Star Wars. It might as well be Stormtroopers. That might as well be Darth Vader. You really are. I mean, they have nuclear power. They have nuclear power and machine guns and tanks, and they're all willing to walk in a straight line with their lifting the leg up at the same time, which is scary for us. When everybody moves mindlessly in a unit together, left, right, left, right, that scares the shit out of us. Because that means you're willing to do whatever the fuck they tell you. Once they got you marching like that, left, right, well, you can't just walk in carrying guns. How impressive is that? Let me tell you something. Just walk in carrying those guns, and everyone's going to shit their pants anyway. But you walking in with that left, right, left, right.
Sergeant Carter's.
What is that? Green. Yeah, what is that? You're letting people know that you got these motherfuckers under control, completely under control, and you're doing that while you're in this nightmare of a dictatorial society. It's got to be horrific to live over there.
How fucking
shitty
lucky
roll of
we?
The dice.
How
oh,
lucky
we're so
we?
Lucky. We're so lucky.
And we're pissed because I gotta go to 405.
We're so lucky.
You know, you're on the fucking 101 at 5 o'clock. It pisses you the fuck off.
But dude, there's no traffic like New York traffic.
How bad has it gotten?
It's
horrendously
bad.
Horrendous.
It's
horrendous.
Bad. It's very bad.
Horrendous. I can't believe it. It's, I don't go over. That's what I said to you.
The tunnels and bridges, and getting into the tunnels and bridges can be insanity. It can be like, okay, this is not happening. Like, how long does this take? It's craziness. The amount of humans. And by the way, no one's driving. Okay? Everyone's taking cabs. So if most of the people in the city are taking cabs, it's the rare few that are clogging it up. Like the amount of traffic does not even closely represent the amount of actual humans, luckily. Because the amount of humans is staggering, but most of them are not taking cars.
Let me explain something to you. In 94, I was doing comedy, and I went back. I was an open micer. I lived in Secaucus, New Jersey, and I dated a girl on 15th and 9th Avenue by Honda of Manhattan. Joe Rogan. I'm telling you, I could get in my car at 7:45 and be in Manhattan at 8:10. You know me. I tell you how the fuck it is. I'd pick her up. My show would be at 9 at the New York Comedy Club. About 3 years ago, I went into New York City. I had to pick my buddy up at the bus station. I had never seen anything like that.
Wow.
I thought it was going to take me an hour tops. It took me 4 fucking hours.
Yeah, I'm not shocked.
No, 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 no. I don't. No, 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 no.
It's insane.
Then there's nothing I want to do there anymore.
Yeah.
I want to go get a hot dog. I take the bus and the train over, but I'm out of there. Taking the car over, those days are done.
I was hanging out with Shane Smith from Vice.com.
All right.
He lives in New York, and he has this view out of his window that it's like mountains. It doesn't even seem real. His view is like it's like you're looking at like mountains. They're mechanical mountains that people have created. It's more beautiful even than the mountains. That the New York City skyline is fucking staggering.
Staggering.
It's so impressive that it's almost worth being there just to see it on a regular basis, because it really is like a work of art, just like the mountains are. You know, the reason why people are like willing to pay for paintings and shit, because it makes you feel good when you see something badass. When you look at something beautiful, like the sculpture that this gentleman sent me, it's the Buddha from my tattoo. That I love art. I like looking at shit that someone made. You know, I like things that are beautiful. But the New York City skyline is like one of the most beautiful things you could see. Like when that thing's all lit up and the cars are moving, you're like, whoa! I've never seen a painting that makes me do that. I never see a painting. I see a painting and I go, wow, that's cool. I like that. Oh, that's badass. But I never see a painting that makes me sit down and open my jaw and go, whoa. But the New York City skyline will make you go, whoa. It'll make you sit back. If you look at it from one of those dudes who's got some crazy building with a giant window. And like a lot of those people, they have those like 180-degree views. like people with like crazy cash and giant apartments, their view is the greatest view in the world. The view is amazing. Seeing all that, that skyline, those lights and the cars moving, I totally get it now. I totally get why people be addicted to living there.
That's the main thing. That whole, like I told you, live in New York, it's live like John Lennon. If you're going to live in New York, you're going to live like John Lennon.
Yeah.
If not, it's fucking tough. That's a tough fucking place to live. And if you have to commute from Brooklyn to Manhattan, you know, it's fucking tough.
Well, John Lennon's a perfect example, though, of why what's crazy about him. Some dude's just waiting outside of where he knows you live. Some wacky dude that wants to shoot you. You know, I mean, that's...
In a secured building.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. People know that you live in that secured building and you're John Lennon. I mean, John Lennon was one of the most famous human beings on the planet Earth. They didn't care if this guy's living in this building. It's a nutty way to live. Stacked on top of everybody, but God, so beautiful. And we were there and there was a lightning storm broke out. Fucking A, man. To be on like the 40th floor of a hotel and look out the window, you see lightning dance across the sky. It's like, holy fuck. Like, this is like one of the coolest shows you could ever see. It was amazing.
New York has stuff that really moved me.
You know what's terrorist, dog? Subway sandwich.
No, look, that's a terrorist right
look.
There. Fucking filthy.
They already got something up. They already got that up. They already got a meme up. People were not friendly there, though, man. That's the weird thing, is the dealing with that constant stress. That went away after 9/11. After 9/11, people were super friendly there for a while. We filmed Fear Factor there in like 2002, I think. And maybe it might have been 2003, but everybody was so friendly. It was really interesting. It was like when we went there, people were like, you could noticeably see that there was like an extra effort that people made to be nice to people. I felt it. It was like I felt it in the air. And I remember thinking, how long will this last? You know, like this is like this new change of the way people are behaving in New York. I wonder how long it'll last. It lasted a long time. It lasted quite a few years before I started feeling like it was back to normal again. This last trip, it's back to normal. It's slowly back, yeah. People are, they just, some people. I mean, there's plenty of nice folks in New York, just like there's plenty of nice folks everywhere. We met a lot of nice folks.
The funny thing is, when I walk in New York, there's some stuff that just fucking moves me.
Yeah.
And it moves me because I remember coming over from Cuba and walking in Manhattan, being a little kid. I remember walking down Broadway and seeing the first wall poster to Her Majesty's Secret Service. That's a James Bond movie with in the between James Bond. His name was George Lazenby. He was in between Roger Moore, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, look it up. Diana Rigg, Kojak was in the movie. It's called Our Majesty's Secret Service. Came out like in 1969, maybe 68, maybe 70.
Well, how many James Bonds were there? The new one's the best. That guy's fucking
badass.
No, that
guy's great. He's badass.
He's like badass. He's the best.
Yeah, he's good. But Roger Moore's good, too.
Roger Moore's good.
Live and let.
But Roger Moore can't fuck with Sean Connery.
No, Roger Moore. No.
All right, these are the men. David Niven was the first one. Oh, no. Listen to this. Chase, this is crazy. Barry Nelson was the first one in 1954, even before Sean Connery. So Sean Connery was 62 to 1971, and again, he came back. Don't call it a comeback! In 83, took a 12-year hiatus, and then came back with a new wig. And then there's David Niven. Who the fuck's David Niven? They tried David Niven out in 67.
Right.
That shit didn't work. And then they tried George Lazenby. They tried that out in 69.
That's the movie, yeah.
And then there's another guy, Christopher Cazenove? It's Cazenove, and then Roger Moore from 73 to 85.
Which ones did Roger Moore do? Live and Let Die.
It's a good question.
That's a good one.
But do you remember Timothy Dalton and Pierce Brosnan? There was two duds in a row, two like fucking total duds. We're like, get out of here, man.
They're both like the same person too.
Yes, it's probably Timothy Dalton was talking shit, and they go, "Look, dude, we got Pierce Brosnan on speed dial." Yeah. Let's fucking do this.
I thought Pierce Bronson would probably be good, but no. Eh.
Let's get the fuck out of here. Both those guys, I can't imagine those guys kicking anybody's ass, ever. I imagine them getting hit and just start crying. But Daniel Craig, I could see that guy kicking someone's ass. I totally 100% buy it. I think he's the best one of all time. He's a beast. He seems like a killer. Like, when I'm watching him, he seems like the type of guy who would be like a problem, drinking, womanizing, trained killer. Like, it all came together in the most realistic version of it. But I had a lot of people said it sucked, man. It's funny. this dude posted on this message board that I go to how fucking everybody told him was the best Bond ever. He's like, holy shit, was it a piece of garbage? I was like, man, I didn't get that. I thought he was.
Give Roger great. Moore a shot again before
get
you.
The fuck out of here.
I'm Roger telling you, dog, live and let die.
Roger
dog, I'm
Moore.
Telling I'm telling you, that's that Roger. Was his smoothness. That was his patois, Joe Rogan. That was his patois. He talked to you the whole time he had his finger up your ass. That's the whole thing about those guys. That's what it means to be fucking James Bond.
That's what it means?
That's right.
The suave debonair finger up your ass?
Bro, he was a suave. I'm telling you, I didn't think so either. See, I grew up on The Saint. When The Saint, you know, was popular when I moved here.
What was The Saint?
Roger Moore.
The Saint.
It was a TV show where there's a circle around his fucking head.
What? We get the fuck out
no,
of here.
No, 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 no. That was the thing. Watch Roger Moore, The Saint.
Really?
Was, yeah.
He had
his own TV show, yeah.
He had a halo?
Yeah, that was the commercial for the fucking halo. That was the name of the show. Like, oh, the Mentalist. God. The Mentalist. The Mentalist.
Yeah.
He was The Saint.
Oh, that is so funny.
It
I never
was
heard
same
of this.
Fucking show, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Saint. Yeah, tremendous.
Hey, what was better, that or that Danny Bonaducci show?
The best bet, listen, bro, I'm going to drop some shows on you that's going to bust your fucking head. I'm going to tell you some good shows right now. It Takes a Fucking Thief with Robin motherfucking Wagner. How about the Wild Wild West? It's on now.
Oh, yeah.
At night. I watch that from time
that
to time.
That was great.
And my head blows up, bro. That was a fucking tremendous TV.
I love the Wild West.
The Wild,
what was that
Wild
handsome
Wild
bastard's
West.
Name?
Yes,
what was
what
that guy's
name?
Name?
There was the curly-haired brunette dude.
And then Bruce, what's his name?
Knocked this battery off my shoulder.
Will Smith came back to play it, right? He played it later
please,
in
don't
a...
Don't insult me. Please. I'm not talking about this. There's no black people in the Wild Wild West, all right? It was two white dudes. The guy's name, remember in the 70s, that commercial? Knock that battery off my shoulder. I dare you. He was a tough dude and shit, remember?
Yeah, that series was 65 to 69,
which
Joey.
One?
The Wild West TV series.
Come on now.
65 to 69. And the guy was it was Robert Conrad and his buddy Ross Martin who never get any credit, man. Ross got the shaft. Nobody gave Ross any credit, damn it. That was a good show. I didn't know it was only 4 years. I used to love that show when I was a little
Which
kid.
One?
That show,
the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
No, please. I remember that was WOR, the Wild Wild West. It Takes a Thief. Those are Channel 9 shows. Then Channel 11 shows with the Honeymooners, the Odd Couple,
yeah.
Sanford and Son, the Twilight Zone. So you had them all. And but my favorite, Benny Hill, was on WOR. That was the beginning of my comedy career. Watching Benny Hill. If you're not a Benny Hill fan, I can't talk to you. If somewhere you don't look at me and go, yeah, Benny Hill, Joey, you're a fucking animal. We can't really communicate. And you watched it because you thought a tit was going to pop out.
Yeah.
Because once a week, somebody showed their tit on television.
Did it actually show a real tit?
Bro, they showed something.
Like a nipple or at least.
Oh, you would go crazy. You would go crazy. Everybody at school knew the next day. Everybody got together, dog. That bitch showed her tit last night.
I think you guys hallucinated. I don't think they ever actually showed
it. They never
her tit,
actually did it.
But they get close. Yeah.
They got
pull it out,
real
put
close,
a hand over the nipple.
And you lost your, when you were 11, you lose
oh,
your
yeah.
mind.
Oh,
your
yeah.
face gets red, you get dizzy.
Yeah, you get sick. Couldn't believe it's happening. There's certain shows that were awesome for kids.
Awesome.
You know, that, like, if, like, I guess that's how we're looking at things today. You know, we look at, like, shows that are terrible and, like, who the fuck is watching this? But, like, for a little kid, the show would still be pretty badass.
My
like,
biggest rush, my biggest crush ever was Wilona from Good Times. In fact, I still see that fine black bitch at auditions, and I tell her, you sexy motherfucker. And she goes, oh, thank you, sugar.
That's
she's
serious.
About 80, and she's still banging with a wig on.
Who was that?
The black chick from Good Times.
What was her name?
Wilona, the one that lives upstairs, the chick. She's beautiful. She's still a fucking knockout.
But then the other one died, right? Shirley Hempel? Know.
Was she from Good Times? No, she was from the other one. The one with Rerun.
Which one was that?
That was the one with Rerun on it and all those fucking people.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Shirley Hempel was on...
What's Happening?
Kicking It?
Right. What's Happening? Kicking It. Was she on Kicking It as well? What is Kicking It?
Meatball King.
It's funny when you look back on shows. Some shows fucking hang in there, man. So, like, All in the Family still hangs in there. You know what still hangs in there? Prince songs. Prince songs
yes.
are still fucking badass. I was in a store, and I Want to Be Your Lover came on, and I was like, wow, I haven't seen... This is like 1980, whatever the fuck it was, 81 or something like that. And I was like, this song is still
badass. We should go see
badass.
Prince. All of us should go.
I'm gonna tell
go
you,
eat some mushrooms and eat some.
Oh,
he plays
if
all
I
the
tell
time.
You what was on the way up here, you motherfuckers, I was in the car. I didn't give a fuck about traffic or the Joe Rogan Experience. You know one of his baddest songs, the one later on? Oh, what time. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, boom, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, that's a great song. Boom, sign boom, of the
boom,
times.
Boom. Sign of the time. Time.
Boom, that's a great boom, song. Boom, man. Boom,
boom. Yeah, oh, yeah. That thing he was doing in Vegas where it was like you would pay 500, 200 people at the Pearl, I guess. I'm not sure, people. Don't attack me. Like
yeah, that. He would do a really small venue for a lot of money.
500, yeah. But you got to call the songs.
Whoa, that's awesome.
And you would say, you know, and just to. I always look. Kid Rock to you might be some fucking redneck, okay, and he probably is, and his uncle does meth or whatever, but it doesn't really matter. One thing about Kid Rock is he knows music,
right?
You know, one thing about comedy is I may not be the funniest guy in the world, but I love watching old comedy to see where I came from.
Jonathan Winterstein, we talked about.
Well,
that.
Well, I'm a big fucking Lenny Bruce guy, and you know Jackie Gleason. I love to watch that stuff,
mm-hmm.
And when I talk to somebody. And when you talk to somebody, you might not like something about them, but just the people they admire, you understand where they come from. We were talking about this earlier when
right,
somebody insults you on Twitter, and you go to their page and go, I get it. You know what I'm saying? They're riding around with a wig on or some shit. I understand now why they repeated this. Well, it's the same thing with me with comics. You know, like, that all combines. I like to know what people, like you, we talk about Hicks. And
right.
The other day I was thinking about you because one of my influences also was Lenny Clark. Believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, I believe
I'm
it.
I'm telling you, I love Lenny Clark. Yeah. Did he become a major star or whatever? Yeah, to me he was because he made me get off my fucking ass. I liked what he was doing on stage, you know? Lenny, the other guy from Boston I liked too. There's a couple guys from Boston that I really, really fucking liked. That they might not be stars to you, but they're stars to me. I thought so, you know?
Yeah, there was a, you know, we came from an era. There was a lot of great comics from, like, the 80s and 90s. Like, we were talking about Herrera, who don't get recognized today. There was some guys. There was some goddamn killers. Teddy Bergeron. Teddy Bergeron is one that doesn't get nearly enough credit. Because
yeah.
He, you know, it tripped over his own addictions in his life. But that guy, at times, was, like, one of the best comics I've ever seen.
I'm going to tell you something, dog. I listened to an old Hedberg album the other day. And I had to stop and check myself, and I realized how bad I really was as a fucking comic. I was listening to him in the car the other day on the Comedy Channel in Nashville.
Yeah.
Fucking what a great town. Just driving through. I got a great hamburger the other night at this place, Jimmy Kelly's.
Are you thinking about moving there?
I don't know. The humidity got me.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It gets hot.
That's it, guys. That's it, guys. That's the one.
In Nashville itself is safe, but when I was there, I was talking about how you drive 50 miles in any direction and you're in a zombie movie. And really, it's what it's like. I mean, you're driving through the dark areas of Tennessee. Like, you can get through some weird spots.
You motherfuckers don't know dark. Well, I know what you're athletic. That's what you mean. You mean athletic, as my Donald says. But I went to a spot where my in-laws are from, Milan and all that, where Mike Pyle is from. He's from Trenton and all that shit.
Right.
You motherfuckers don't know nothing about nothing. You don't know what nighttime is.
Yeah.
You have no idea, gentlemen. I went outside the door and I saw the wolves. They just threw wolves everywhere to get the deer population down. But they're killing something else now. And every night, and my in-laws got the dog outside in the fucking balcony. I'm like, what the fuck?
And there's wolves out
there's
there?
There's wolves out there. Not wolves, the other ones. Are you
coyotes?
Coyotes out
they
there.
They brought them in to keep the deer population
down. The deer population.
Isn't that amazing?
Is that fucking amazing? So
let's bring in some monsters to eat the food.
This is what I'm saying. So now, you know, they're killing something else now. Oh, they were killing the rabbits.
Oh, God.
They were killing the fucking rabbits. So but one night, you could hear them out there. I'm 50 yards from them.
They introduced them? That's so crazy.
Fucking crazy. Fucking crazy. So that was wild. I like that style of living, but man, let me tell you something. Guys.
That style of living, listening to.
Let me tell you something, my friend. To know that, like, I wanted a cup of coffee one night. I didn't want to bother nobody. Because this time, I usually stay at a hotel, but it's too far.
Right.
It's too fucking far from the house. I mean, they're out there, Joe.
Right.
Out there.
Right.
House is beautiful, land is paid for, gorgeous, but. They're out there.
Right.
Like, one night I was like, Terry, I'm thinking this place. She goes, you know, if you go get a cup of coffee, it's 40 fucking minutes.
Whoa.
Each way. Like 30 or something. 30 minutes. But you don't know where you're going. So it's going to be 45.
Here's my question. What's more healthy? That or New York? Because I don't know. Because sometimes I think New York is more healthy. But in being there just for over a couple of days and comparing the pace of certain places I've been to, like Boulder, and then comparing it to New York and dealing with the people, and
I don't think I don't. I can't say it's like New York people are shitty people. You know, it's not it. And the percentage of the people that I ran into was very, very small that were not nice. But those you might not ever run into in Boulder. You know what I'm saying? It's that the possibility of like rudeness was there in a way that isn't in other spots. So I got to think about, well, why are people like that? Like, what is it? What is it that causes people to be rude? Is it just there's too many of us? What is it? I think that's part of it. I really do. I think there's a certain number of people when you get stuck in a certain amount of traffic and a certain amount of lines, a certain amount of waiting, a certain amount of frustration, it's not worth it.
Everybody in this fucking room right now, at one time or another, their voice has gotten loud with somebody at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the answer to why people are rude.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with us is we caught it. In New York, there's just so much. I still have it.
Mm-hmm.
I still have it at times. I have it. I grew up in that mentality. Yeah. It's in me. It's who the fuck I am. I get it.
Right.
But I don't get it all the time. I don't get somebody being mean to you on the fucking belt.
Right.
There's a difference between rude. In fact, there's some rudeness that you appreciate.
Yeah.
You're like, thank fucking God we got more people like that around to make this lady push a little bit.
Right. A little bit. Yeah.
But that there's another type. That rudeness I can't live with. At this point in my life. And when I was younger, I would confront it. Now I don't confront it anymore.
But then on the other hand, you got about New York, people are more street smart. They just are. There's people that they're hipper. They're like they just seem to be more on top of things. You know, they're less obsessed with Hollywood. I think that's a really bad thing about the area we live in.
No, that's the worst. That's what I repeat.
The worst.
Over and over and over again that in this area particularly, this is very funny because I didn't think about this till I was on stage. I dare you, Brian. Dare you to get a fucking parking ticket and be 45 minutes late to court. I dare any of you motherfuckers to be late to court. And see if you don't get a bench warrant issued. And when you get there, you have to redo all the paperwork.
Wow.
Why is Lindsay Lohan always an hour late for court? And it's cute. You know, Michael Jackson showed up with pajamas, an hour late for court.
Pajamas.
You know, as long, and they try to be strict. Like, Michael, you know you're 46 minutes late for court. Come with this fucking fat Cuban to court late one time and see what happens after a fucking half hour. There's strategies to it. Let's pretend you got a parking ticket, a speeding ticket. And you know the cop, a lot of times this is the best strategy that my attorney in Jersey would do. He would always tell the cop, yeah, show up. And then he would call and go, Rogan's running late. But he would tell the court clerk, so it would never get to the judge. So the judge would issue a bench warrant for you, and we'd wait for the cop to leave the building. And then we sneak you in around the back, and we just say you got caught in traffic. They redo your bench warrant. There's nobody to testify. You're in the speeding ticket, and they drop the charge in the ticket. That's old school. That's Uncle Joey dropping knowledge on a motherfucker right there. But there's other situations where you don't want to be late for court, especially if you're going for rehab or Michael Jackson or molesting fucking kids. That's why right now, that tells you right there. I've been to courts before. I day even Boulder, the nicest people in the world, get to court 10 minutes late. They don't even let you in the fucking door. Once they close that door in Boulder, sorry, go to the third floor. That means they handcuff you and go through the whole fucking thing all over again.
It's like the idea that you can come to a place and this is the place to go if you want to get famous. This is the place. And the whole, like, entertainment industry, sort of this is like the main hub of it. You're going to get a lot of cool people, too. Look at all the cool people that we know that all live here. Look at how many cool friends we have that all live here. You get a lot of goddamn cool people, too. You get people that have gotten through the whole thing and sort of figured it out and relaxed and settled in and then, you know, became understood how to work within the parameters of the business without getting caught up in it and becoming, you know, one of those weird lost Hollywood type people.
This is my beef. And I think it's your beef also, too. And Red Band doesn't look at it this way. And I've always thought about it because I'm 50. But I go for auditions, which you don't. And I see a little bit more of this bullshit.
Yeah.
And I once saw girls maybe 6 years old that were adorable. I walked into a room this big that was packed. But these two little girls that were six decided they were going to take 20 of their headshots and put them all over the floor. Okay? And I heard the one girl say something to the other girls, you got to move this. And the one little girl said, my daddy's a director or something like that. Okay, so this is my problem, guys. Me, I'm a piece of shit. I'll live anywhere. Do you really want to raise a child here? You know, I don't want... This is, bro, the values of life here are judged differently than what they are in Chicago or mm-hmm. Boston. And you might look down on that. Some people might look down on that, but I don't. I never don't. I don't.
Well, I think for us, there's like, first of all, this is the only place where there's like such a conglomeration of those people. So it's like if you live your whole life and you never come in contact with them, you know, this is, it could be kind of shocking when you're around like a bunch of actors or a bunch of Hollywood types. But the, one of the real problems is there's not any other business that's looked at like that prominently here. It's so overwhelming. There's so many people that are involved in it that kids like automatically sort of gravitate towards it. They like, everybody wants to be famous. They gravitate towards it. Whereas in Denver, who the fuck is going to be famous? Like, you want to be famous? Like, that's a real goddamn pipe dream if you're living in Boston. You know, it's a real goddamn pipe dream. But if you're living in Hollywood, it seems like it's attainable. Oh my God, we saw this guy at the mall. And then we were there, we saw this. And then we went to an audition and we saw Ben Affleck. And you know, it just becomes, it becomes more of a focal point. And there's not enough other shit here.
Let me ask you something. How come, have you ever seen any paparazzi pictures of Joe Rogan?
Of Joe?
Hey, dude.
Never.
I'll tell you later.
Oh, really? Yeah. No. I'm just saying, why? Because Joe doesn't want paparazzi pictures.
Well, it's not only that. I don't do all that shit.
No, I understand.
I don't like to go to parties.
I'm just saying, even anywhere. Listen, if you go to the Laurel Canyon Farmer's Market with your family now on Sunday, there's mm-hmm. paparazzi's there, 10:15.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm telling you right now because I've seen them.
I encountered a bunch in New York.
I'm not saying nothing bad about paparazzi's or anything. I'm just making a point. If you want people taking pictures of you, people take motherfucking pictures of you. If you don't want to, you don't want to. People will not bother you. People don't bother you. People don't bother Adam Carolla. The people that are in the limelight want to be in the limelight.
Well, there's a lot of folks that do things on purpose, for sure.
I just read something the other night that was...
I was talking to my friend the other day who's a paparazzi, and he's like, you want to go to the LAX tonight? I'm like, why? He goes, well, here, I got Lindsay Lohan's boarding pass. She's flying in at 5:30 a.m. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's so crazy. How do you have
this? I watched something the other day, or read it. I read it online about Jamie Presley. Did you guys read that story?
What?
About her getting into a beef in Hollywood because the chick stole. This is hysterical. So her assistant, somebody stole her assistant's purse. Right? Did you heard about this, Joe Rogan?
No,
went to Hollywood to get the assistant's purse back, but the girl, they had something in the purse that lets you know that the purse you got,
like a GPS,
right. The phone was in the purse, and they figured out it pointed to this bar where they were having this celebrity stud out. So Jamie Presley showed up and yelled at the girl, but then it turned out that in that purse were drugs.
Oh no!
So the cop showed up, and then nobody knew whose purse it was. Like once they got there, like no, that ain't my purse. You guys were just—they got into a fight over the fucking purse. But once the cops got there, and they opened the purse. It was like blow and steroids in there or some shit.
No way!
And everybody's like, "That ain't our fucking purse no more. That ain't our fuck. We don't even know what happened."
Joey, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Joey, do you remember this? You on Mad TV on The Sopranos?
Why must you torment me every time I come on this fucking show? All I want to do is...
That's so funny you just put that up. I saw James Gandolfini walking around in New York.
How big is he?
It's a big guy.
Big guy.
I saw him in that movie, Killing Him Softly. It's actually a pretty fucking good movie, man.
Is it a good movie?
It's a pretty fucking good movie.
I knew anything Brad Pitt puts out is solid. They killed that fucking movie.
I don't know why they killed it. I enjoyed that movie. It was a good movie.
How good
was
he?
It was one of those under the radar. Brad Pitt's a bad motherfucker.
No, how good was Gandolfini?
Gandolfini's a killer.
Let me tell you something.
He's a killer.
I don't know if you know what happens in this country every day at 5 o'clock now.
What happens?
Every day at 5 o'clock, they started The Sopranos from scratch again, HBO. They brought him back. Because it was just too overwhelming. HBO took them back from A&E, and they said, it's over. We're going to play them every day, and they're doing season one.
Watching them on A&E was torturous.
Torturous. But
cutting out all the swears and all the bad shit.
Let me tell you something. The other day I watched the third episode of the season, when they take the power back, when Jackie Aprile dies, they go to
hospital. Right.
That is one of the best written shows.
Ugh.
Of all, and Gandolfini was very, I forgot how good he really was. Everybody else was subpar. He's amazing. He's fucking amazing.
He plays a total psycho and is Killing Them Softly, and it's so fucking believable. It's so believable. Oh, it's great.
Have you seen the preview for the guy that did District 9, his next movie with Matt Damon in it?
No. Who was that?
Oh my God, it looks fucking amazing. You remember the name? Was it? Yeah, but it takes place like 100 years in the future, and the trailer is so badass. It looks amazing.
Well, I was in New York this past weekend for the upfronts for sci-fi for this new show that I'm doing that I can now talk about that I don't get in trouble, called Joe Rogan Questions Everything. But they got this new show called Defiance that's coming out. It's a combination video game and science fiction show. Yeah. Dude, it looks insane. It's this. It's a huge, huge, huge project that the Sci-Fi Channel is undertaking. And is the Sci-Fi Channel where Battlestar Galactica came from?
I think so.
Was that it? Yeah. Did they do Battlestar Galactica?
I'm pretty sure.
Battlestar Galactica was one of my favorite fucking shows ever. That remake of Battlestar Galactica, it took till season two for Brian Callen to convince me that I should check it out. It was fucking tremendous.
2154.
What is it?
This is that new movie. It's called Elysium, and it has Matt Damon in it. And just look at that, though. Look at that right there. That's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it was Sci-Fi that did Battlestar Galactica.
Like, it's supposed to be 2154, I think. Like, really long in the future. And it's like Matt Damon's all buff in it and shit.
Powerful Matt Damon.
But it's just like District 9.
Oh my god, this looks sick.
I know.
When is this coming out?
August 9th.
Wow.
I need to get to Elysium.
Whoever has this. But yeah, it looks pretty sweet.
Wow, this looks incredible.
He upgrades his body, you know.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
You can save everyone. We're gonna break into the most heavily guarded place in the universe. Oh yeah.
His body is like, that shit's drilled into his body?
Yeah, he upgraded his body.
Holy fuck. You know that's coming.
Yeah.
Whoa. This is like some Mad Max type shit.
Yeah, totally.
Dude, when does this come out?
August 9th.
Oh, this looks...
Jodie Foster's
in it. Jodie Foster.
It's very District 9-y looking, too.
Except no aliens.
That we know of.
That we know of? Yeah, you mean there might be aliens?
There might be aliens in it.
Why do you say that? You're just making shit up.
No, I said
I'm
going to
be looking
know.
For aliens now. I'm going to be all, like, hoping there's an alien. Earth for this. Looks badass, though.
Yeah.
That looks pretty dope. But I prefer aliens. You know, if you're going to be all in the future and shit, I want to see something that's not real. I want to see Starship Troopers. I want to see giant bug people. I want to see, like, the movie Alien, like the Sigourney Weaver alien. That's the shit, folks.
That's the shit. That's my movie.
That's the shit, folks.
Before we go, can I just pump Sacramento?
Yeah.
Sacramento next month, 5/3, 5/4, May 3rd and 4th. We're going to be in Sacramento with Tony Hinchcliffe and Sam Tripoli. And then San Francisco, Sunday, May 5th. We're doing one show there. Tickets are on sale right now. And then tonight, me and Joey Diaz are at Ice House with a couple other guys.
And Joey will also be at Flappers on Tuesday for Tom Segura's benefit.
And I'll be
for
his
dog. And Brian and Ari is going to be there as well. And I'll be there.
Have you heard the lineup? It's sick.
Yeah, it's crazy
like
lineup.
And then Bert Kreischer's going to be there.
It's amazing.
And then it's ridiculous.
And it's all for the aid of Tommy's dog. He got a dog that got really, really sick. So they're putting the dog to, you know, hospital care and all this stuff, and it costs a lot of money. So we're taking care of our buddy Tommy. Please come and support. It's Tuesday at Flappers.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all the powerful love out there from the internet.
That's why there's a beautiful situation. April 19th, I'm in Miami. You're in San Jose, but you sold out already. So help me out, April 19th.
Jackie Gleason Theater. You're at the Fillmore?
Yeah, the Fillmore. Two shows, 8 and 10 o'clock. Go to the South Beach Comedy Festival. Bill Burr's there Thursday.
Boom.
Tracy Morgan's there. Silverman's there.
Boom.
It's a nice little fucking lineup. I'm only there. I'll be back here 4:20 smoking dope somewhere. But make sure if you're West Palm Jews, come on down. Fort Lauderdale Jews, come on down, cocksuckers.
I did that gig a couple of years ago with Tom. Me and Tom Segura did it. It's fucking fun. The Miami Comedy Festival is really fun.
You know,
I need to start
fun?
Doing it every year. I couldn't do it this year, though. I had something booked already.
You know what was really dynamite? West Palm Beach this year.
West Palm Beach is badass.
I was very impressed this year, guys.
We had a great time.
Four shows, Bing, bang, boom, sold out. 2,400 people in and out of there. Good sets, good energy. Keep doing that one.
Yeah. I mean, oh, we're in. We're in. That's a good one. But you know what else, too? It's like what's happening now is all these clubs that we go to, we're bringing our crowd. So you're getting all these really
fun,
positive people. No matter where we go, we're getting them everywhere. Nashville was fucking outstanding. Indianapolis was outstanding.
Debt Squad Nashville. I want to give all these Debt Squad charters a fucking real.
Yeah, all you
lifting, you bad, crazy motherfuckers.
Just please keep it together. On our behalf, don't let any government agents infiltrate and start to fuck up the group a la the Juggalos. There's already the government. They're trying to find out where the weed is. Once we become legal, they have nothing to talk about us for. We're not really looking to overthrow anything. Just relax, government agents.
Mm-hmm. And I'm in Austin, too, next month. Having a good time. I can't wait to go eat some lucky. Good food.
Beautiful. I love Austin.
Arizona.
I'm headed to a seminar in Austin for the TV show. Okay. I got to go talk to some doctors about some wacky disease.
So when you come back, you're beautiful, baby.
You're beautiful, baby, too.
And then we got New Brunswick, bitches.
New Brunswick.
Chael Sonnen. It's
basically sold out.
Now, who else is on that card?
I don't think there's any tickets available for our show.
Can you please tell me who's on that card, please,
in New Jersey? I do not have it in front of me, but I'll pull it up.
Thank you, sir.
Take us a second.
What's up, B-Red, man?
While I'm taking a second, let's thank our sponsors.
That's right.
I'd like to thank Stamps.com, you bad motherfuckers. Again, if you have ever ordered any of those Death Squad.TV t-shirts from Brian Redband, all of those came from the software that Brian uses from Stamps.com. It is an excellent service. You don't have to go to the post office ever again. You can sit at home. You use their software. You measure it. They give you, if you use the code word JRE, there's a microphone. If you click it in the upper right-hand corner and in the code name JRE, that's Joe Rogan Experience, ladies and gentlemen. You get a free digital scale. And it's, what is it, $110 offer? Yes, yeah. $110 bonus offer, $55, up to $55 free postage and digital scale. It's a dope service. If you have a small business, it is really like the best way to go. I mean, don't torture yourself. Use it. Post office works awesome. Stamps.com. Get it. Holla. JRE. Use the code. Thanks to Onnit.com. That's O-N-N-I-T. Use the code name Rogan. Save yourself 10%. Off any and all supplements. Thanks also to Ting. If you go to rogan.ting.com and enter in... Oh, you don't have to do shit. Just go to rogan.ting.com. Enter in your information and get $25 credit towards either a phone or a device. That is it for this week because I've been doing that TV show thing. I've been busy, so we won't be back until Monday. But on Monday, we're starting back again. With Steve Ranella and Brian Callen, and Tuesday Greg Fitzsimmons, and most likely we'll do one more podcast next week as well. And to answer Joey Diaz, I'm going to the UFC, and I'm looking for the schedule, upcoming events. Let's see what we got here.
What we got, baby?
Let's see.
Redman tonight. Tickets still available.
Tickets at IceHouseComedy.com.
And don't forget Miami next Friday. Don't get your shit together. Don't bring no blow. Just reefer, rolling papers, edibles, bazookas, Cuban sandwiches, croquetas, shit like that.
Yeah, let's see what the fight card is here.
Fuck around.
This is, we're looking at the Jones versus Sonnen fight card. God damn, my internet sucks. Any day now, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be fixed. Alan Belcher versus Michael Bisping. That's a great fucking fight.
Oh, shit.
That's a great fucking fight. How about this? You ready for this? Roy Big Country Nelson versus Czech Congo. Strap the fuck in, son. That could get crazy. Big Country and Czech Congo. God damn, that's going to be a great fight. Vinny Magalhães and Phil Davis. I fucking love it. I love that fight.
Oh my God.
Vinny Magalhães has been asking for that fight, too. You know, Vinny Magalhães, when he left The Ultimate Fighter and went over to M1 Global and kicked ass and became their champion and just really developed some striking to go along with his jiu-jitsu, which is some of the best in the fucking world. And Phil Davis is a beast, man. He's a wicked wrestler. Comes from Alliance, a great camp. That's a great fucking fight. Jim Miller versus Ryan Healy. That's a great fucking fight. God damn, son. There's great fights on the undercard, too. That guy, what else we got here? Oh, Ovin St. Preux. Yeah, he's finally fighting. He's on the FX fight. He's the dude. He was a beast. He was doing really well over in Strikeforce. And finally, he's in the UFC as well. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 fights that card. So it's excellent. And there's a girl fight, too.
Woohoo!
Yeah, powerful.
Sarah McMahon and Sheila Gaff. This is going to be wild, man. Having all these chick fights inside the octagon, it's going to be very interesting. Misha Tate is fighting soon, too. And when Misha Tate fights, that's going to be really fucking interesting. Because she's the one who's going to fight Ronda Rousey. They're going to, compete against each other on The Ultimate Fighter.
I like Misha Tate. I'm a fan of
her. She's awesome.
I follow her on Twitter. I like
her. She's awesome. She's a very, very cool person.
I love her to death.
As her boyfriend, Brian Caraway, he's cool as fuck, too. All right. That's it for this week. Did we say thank you to Stamps.com? Yes. Thank you.
Thank you to everybody. That's it. Thank you to everybody.
Thank you, Ting.
Ping,
thank you
on it.
Thank you, all you people. Choose, all you people.
Sprint, I love all you motherfuckers.
All you savages on Twitter.
Hyundai, Adidas.
All you people out there making it in the free world.
Fruit of the
Keep
Moon.
On rocking. Don't worry about Confederate flags. Be a Leonard Skinner fan. Don't be scared. Don't be scared, LL Cool J. Keep it together, you fucking freaks. We love the shit out of you. We appreciate you very much. Joey?
I love you guys from the bottom of my heart. Stay black.
Brian
Redband.
Have a
great weekend.
I love both of you.
See you in Miami, bitches.
We love all you freaks. We'll see you soon.